Hello, everyone, and welcome to the June 7th, 2010, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast, Monday night edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy. Give us free Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the stinky on this cruise ship in your world that is often persecuted and many times felt trapped, but always ends up this three-hour void being able to gain more converts, my views. And I would like to thank you for joining me tonight for the latest installment of Your World, My View. In the last show, we discussed the idea of introducing your mate to your loved one. An oddity in a lot of people's lives, a lot of tea that sometimes we cannot avoid. Sometimes we want to bring our children around our new loved one, or our parent, or our fathers, those of us who possibly have one of those still around. And we bring those people around them, and we're hoping for the best, but are oftentimes treated with the worst. But hey, we're always trying to find out when is the perfect time to bring those people around. And asking that question, last week I'd like to bring in my esteemed co-host, my co-hostess, Miss Renee Bishop. How's it going?
Going well. How are you?
I am fantastic. In the last show, again, as I stated, we spoke about the idea of bringing your loved ones around your new mate, or your mate, whoever it is, whether they're new or not. And just wondering, what did you get from the show? What did you learn? Or what are just your ideas on just appropriate time of it? Should it be something just done? If it's something you require, the whole nine. What'd you come away?
Well, it's not a requirement. I think it, just like any other component for a relationship, is up to the people that are involved. So I think that when I think of a relationship, first of all, it's not a one-sided entity. So it's up to both people that are involved to be comfortable.
Yep, that is 100% true. That was my take on it. I honestly believe that it's not something that you or the other person should be able to dictate on the other person. It should be basically you sit down, and if you're comfortable, you're comfortable. If you're not, you're not. And a lot of people felt like the person probably hiding something. The person is probably doing something wrong. The person is ashamed of you, and it may be a combination of all that. But that's a decision you're going to have to make, because you cannot force someone to do something as big as that. Because to be honest, it shouldn't be a big deal to meet your family if you are trying to make this person whatever you're trying to make. But it should be a big deal. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us for Your World, My Views. And if you didn't know, we are no longer at the fabulous Vino Libro. Why? I don't know. We had a discussion with Mr. John. Uh-oh, that's my part. All right, we had a discussion, and we enjoyed being at the Vino Libro, but we are moving to a new facility. We are in negotiations now with a few people, and we'll keep you guys up to date. We'll know something probably by the end of the week. But we were blindsided, and this goes to probably more of the plight of the black man in America, which is what the show is going to be about today. I'd like to welcome everyone in that's listening via internet. Thank you. Everyone that's calling in, thank you as well. We're talking about today's topic anyway. It's going to be the plight of the black man in America. And one of the plights of the black man is myself having to deal with another black male who we worked out a plan to do the Vino Libro. And everything was going great until Saturday I got a note saying, did you know that the Vino Libro was closed? And I was a little shocked by this because I was preparing for my show today, which we have Senate hopeful Michael Adams today. He's going to join us during the 9 o'clock hour. And everything was being prepared and set up. And once I found out this information, I was very shocked. I was surprised. And now I am appalled. I could not understand what went wrong in this situation. But we will no longer be at the Vino Libro, no thanks to being told before knowing we would not be at the Vino Libro. Thank you, guys. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Thomas. This is Renee, and thank you for joining us tonight. And if you are unfamiliar with how the show works, it works like this. We start off talking about the last show, then we get into other topics. Sometimes we have guests on. Sometimes we have little segments. Then we go into me talking about a bunch of nothing. Then we go into the news, and then we go into the topic of the day. And the topic of the day today is black men in America, the plight of black males. We're going to say males, not men. So if you have any questions that you want to ask me, or if you want to talk about my infamous name changes, it's today I am Tommy, give us free Sotomayor. Go ahead and send me an email to thomas@yourworldmyviews.com. And make sure you tell your friends. Log on to www.yourworldmyviews.com. Listen to the show. Call in. The show's number is 347-989-8310. You can call in at any time where you will get me or Renee and talk about anything that you would like to talk about. Now, I had a long weekend, other than the fact that we are in studio now and not at the Vino Libro, but everything is fine. But we had I had a lot of other things going on. Of course, everyone knows my Facebook page is usually very, very eventful. And this weekend and today was virtually no shortage of events as well. But I will ask, Renee, before I get into it, how was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. Fantastic. Enjoyed the weather. Got out. Did something.
Good deal. Well, it was a wonderful weekend here in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where we broadcast from, weather-wise. A little bit of rain every now and again, but beautiful weather. Also, something else that happened good, the Boston Celtics whooped up on the L.A. Lakers, so I'm good because I won some money on that game, as I was told that Lakers would sweep in L.A., and they didn't. Rajon Rondo played a beautiful game. And please, 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 people, stop blaming that game on the referees. The referees had nothing to do with that, and if they did, they had something to do with the reason Boston lost in the first game. Bad calls are bad calls. What I would like to say, though, is the refs need to take themselves out of the games. They are averaging 30 fouls against Boston and 26 against the Lakers. That is way too much per game. Let them play. We want to see good brand of basketball. But back to what was going on my page this weekend, because I'm shocked and I was just wondering. I want to get some opinions because I'm big on opinions. But I like to start off by just giving one of my thoughts of the day. And the good thoughts of the day, of course. One of my thoughts of the day is, the good thing about knowing people who talk about others behind their backs is that you should have no doubt that when you are out of their sight, your name will be the one they're putting in others' ears. It basically breaks down to the idea of, hey, check it out. Let me tell you what's going on with such and such and so and telling his business. Next thing you know, they will be telling yours. If they're telling you about how they can't stand someone else, yes, indeedy, they will be telling someone else about how they can't stand you. But then halfway through the day, I had a second thought. I said, wow, I am in a thinking mood. So let me throw out a second thought. My second thought of the day was love is a feeling, not a provable fact. Don't ever feel the need to prove to someone how you feel about them. They either believe you or not. But 9 times out of 10, it's their own insecurity or their expression of the lack of that same feeling for you. Now, if you did not know what that meant, in layman's term, basically it's saying the person don't feel the same way about you. That's why every time you say it, they say they don't believe it. Or they're so insecure with themselves and the fact that they are not used to someone who loves them. So when they hear it, it's a scary thought. It's something that throws them off. But either way, you should never find yourself in position trying to prove to someone that you love them. Because if someone constantly wants you to prove to them that you love them, you're immediately on the chasing end. You will spend the rest of your life jumping through hoops. After a while, someone should be able to figure that out. Now, what happened on my page was someone jumped in. Now, this person, Miss Morna, I got to say something. We have a past. We have a past from one of the Monday shows where she was the young lady who stated that nobody other than black women can raise black children, which was strange to me when there are a lot of black kids that are adopted by white people, Sandra Bullock, of course, being one, and I guess she doesn't have the ability to raise productive black kids because she's not black. And then I don't know what a productive black child is because I've seen a lot of black children raised by black women. And they don't look too productive. But we have a president raised by a white woman who's president. But so we had our falling out over that issue. Well, she decided to tell me that love is an act. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what I don't understand, people. I give thoughts of the day. They're my thoughts. That's all they are. If you don't think they're good thoughts, put the anti-thought on your page. You telling me that my thought of the day doesn't make sense doesn't change that it's my thought for the day. It's like putting out a Bible verse and then somebody running onto your page and telling you how that Bible verse is stupid, how that ain't true. You're like, but this is, it's what I'm using today. It's what I feel. It's what makes me happy. I know what my page is for, and I understand when I ask a question, it's good stuff. Jump on. Let me know how you feel, honestly. But when I give a thought of the day, I'm shocked that I found myself arguing my thoughts. But if I'm going to argue my thoughts, let's argue them with facts. Oh, Lord, I didn't get any facts when I was speaking with Miss Morna, but we were talking. And the next thing I know, she was supposed to be listening to the show. She couldn't wait to get on this show where we're talking about the plight of black men. And then all of a sudden, everything disappears. She's no longer a friend. She's no longer listening to the show. And now she's telling other people, don't listen to the show. All because we didn't agree that love was not an act. She stated that if you have love without action, then it's just lust. And I said, well, I don't lust after my daughter. I don't lust after my mom. I don't lust after my friends. So it doesn't really apply. It doesn't make sense. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. If you got any questions, if you got any comments, you can call in at 347-989-8310. Get through, press 1. Get through and talk to me. But I didn't get that, and I didn't understand that. But I like to have friendly debates with you guys. It doesn't bother me. I allow you guys freedom of speech, and I'll speak back with you. But the thing is, whatever you say, please bring facts behind it. There's nothing wrong with having opinions, but opinions should be based upon some facts. A lot of people, especially black people, were used to having opinions without facts. That's usually the basis of all of our religions. We have strong, very strong opinions on religion. Zero fact. We have very, very strong opinions about Jacquel is my baby's daddy. Zero fact. You slept with 4 people that same night. No fact, but you blame it on Jacquel. There it is. He should be, he's a deadbeat if he don't pay you child support. and then the DNA test say it ain't Jacquel's, and you say, well, it must be Jamarcus's because that's the only person it could be. When you went from 100% that it was Jacquel's to 100% that it was Jamarcus. Let's stop doing that, people. If you're going to have a discussion with me, if you're going to have an argument with me, bring a fact behind it so even though it's your opinion, it can be based upon something, and I can understand it even if I disagree with it. Miss Mourner, I'm so very sorry that you're a 40-year-old woman with two children who decided that having a disagreement with someone on a page upset you with them personally. Please, people, do not get upset with me personally because of a discussion I have on my page with you. I will disagree with my child's mom on my page. I will disagree with my own mom on my page. Whether you're best friends or not, I will disagree with you and continue to be friends with you. We should be able to do that in a civilized society. That is one of the pincushions of a civilized society, is civilized discourse. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. Thank you guys for joining us. One of the other things that I talked about on my page, it was my PAFOS. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's people are full of shit. And ladies, just because a man wants to sleep with you doesn't mean that that man wants to be with you. It's funny how some of you come to Facebook and put up nasty pictures or post comments about your body parts just to get love from guys in cyberspace. Come on, ladies, remember MMWFA, which means most men will fuck anything. Now, I will ask you, Renee, I don't know if you've seen much of this going on Facebook, but you will watch young ladies and then be kind of shocked by the pictures that they put up of themselves or some of the comments that they make. Have you found this something you've seen?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see. I'm reaching for something to say, but basically at the end of the day, it's this. What you put out is what you get back. Guys will do pretty much whatever you want them to do. I always say it. You can listen to me. You can listen to me again. Black men pretty much aren't going to be very honest with you. So because they're not going to be very honest with you, you need to pay attention to what you're doing. If you're going to do something with the idea of a black man in mind, make sure, please, that you know what you're trying to get out of it. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Keith. I'm going to come up with some shirts about the MMFA. One other thing I want to talk about with you guys is this. I put up something, and I just said, you might be lame if you are volunteering that we go places and do things to get to know each other, to get to know each other better. But you are not volunteering to pay for any of it. It is easy to suggest activities when all you have to do is attend them. If you need someone to spend money on you in order to get them to get to know you better, then you might be lame. To me, that made sense. To me, it made perfect sense. It's like, okay, you got to be lame if you're sitting here saying a guy must spend a bunch of money on you in order for him to get to know you. Again, you get a lot of ladies, and guys know what I'm talking about. You get a lot of ladies who will come up to you and say, hey, you all right with me, but we need to get to know each other better. Why don't we go out sometimes? And you're thinking, I guess going out with me to the movies would make you get to know me better. I guess eating at Ruth Chris would help you get to know me better. I'm not sure. Walking in the park would probably do a bit better job than that. Talking to me would probably do a bit better job than that. But I guess going to get some wine and steak will do that too, so why not? So we go and get the wine and the steak, and we're there and we're eating. And I'm thinking to myself, wine, steak, nice evening. And here comes Bill. No, not a guy named William, but the actual Bill. The Bill comes, the woman who suggested that you guys go out to get to know her looks at you. And what's pissing me off is this. Guys, I don't know if I'm the only guy. Maybe I'm telling on myself. So maybe some guys could tell me I'm telling the truth. 347-989-8310. Press 1 if you want to speak. Doesn't it kind of make you mad when you're sitting there and the person brings out that little black jacket and slides it by you? You don't put it in the middle of the table. You slide it to me. Now, I'm looking down at this thing. Even if we had addressed it before we got in there that she's going to pay, you put her in a position to say, everybody else assumes he's going to pay. Why ain't he paying? So now we got to argue when we go home. But maybe it's just me again. Maybe I'm just cheap. But I don't like the idea that you can hand me this thing and tell me, you got to pay for this here, Tommy. I'm not paying for that. She's paying for it. We're paying for it. It should be a thing where we both are going to pay for this ticket. But, hey, that's just me. But anyway, when I put that post out there, I had a young lady jump on and say, well, it's all a part of courting. And I said, well, I think it's messed up that a guy would waste his time spending money on a woman that's not interested. And she said, that's the problem with dating nowadays and people with that thought. That's why dating doesn't work. So I stopped. Once you make statements like that towards my statement, I stop. And I go look at your page. People, before you make statements, clean your page off or block your info. If you're going to tell me that the way that I go about dating is the problem with dating today, which is only to say I should not be forced to pay for another woman to get to know her, I'm going to assume you are a married woman. This is why you're saying this. No, that's not the case, though. She's not married, and she has children out of wedlock. Don't know how she knows so much. She's not even doesn't have a man. Don't know how she became the bastion of dating. But she did. I'm confused. I'm going to pick up a call and see what I'm getting myself into, because I'm probably about to get cussed out. But I'm going to see what happens. Oh, gee whiz. Call us 770-630. What you got for me?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, what's going on?
Nothing much. I guess I had to pay my little 2 cents into the situation.
Go ahead.
I mean, I've been raised that, you know, you're supposed to pay for the woman and everything, but I do, like, I guess I look at it like this, you know, if the woman does say that she wants to pay, whatever, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, by default, I generally decide to pay, but I guess by the point that if we're actually going out, then it's kind of like more back and forth. I would expect that a little bit more once we're going out. But if it's
exactly,
especially like when you're still trying to date the woman or whatever, yeah, I mean, there's a, you know, you don't want to spend a lot. I mean, you want to spend the money, like especially like the first date, you know. I don't mind the first day, you know, or first few dates. I don't mind paying whatever. But I guess at some point it should be starting getting to more of a back and forth thing. Like, you know, she should at least nothing else offer to pay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
My thoughts on the whole thing, the way I was thinking, do you think that's wrong when I'm saying, one, does it piss you off that every time you go out and the server brings that bill, they slide it to you as if you're supposed to pay it every time?
I think it'd be more appropriate for him or her to at least put it in the middle of the table. I think that, because it should be a little offensive to the woman as well, because automatically she's like, because it's kind of saying like, oh, well, yeah, he's supposed to be paying anyway. So, yeah, she should be a little offended that they automatically fit the check on my side of the table. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the first thing I wanted to talk about. And the second part was what you brought up. You're right. If you want to go on a date, most of the time, typically with me, I will go ahead and pay for it. But it's the assumption that gives you a problem. I dated a chick who told me one time, I wanted to sleep with you. The problem I had that night was the fact that you assumed I was supposed to sleep with you.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, it seems like that's what most of our problem is. We don't have a problem with paying. But it's this assumption that we're supposed to pay for someone we don't know just to get to know someone. So let's just do the math real quick, Daniel. Let's do some quick math. You go on 5 dates this week because you've been hitting it hard on Black People Meet. You got 5 people lined up. She been hitting it hard on Black People Meet too. She got 5 people lined up. You make 30 grand a year. She makes $30,000 a year. You need eat. You need food to live. She need food to live. You go on them 5 dates during that week. It costs you, let's just give a conservative estimate of $50 to feed you and that person for that one date. Let's just imagine you do that 5 times. Well, you're just out of $250 that week. That's a car note. Pay a couple light bills. It's good money. But you out of it that week just trying to get to know the people you met on Black People Meet. She goes on those same 5 dates. She gets to eat. She gets to drink. She gets to have a good time. She gets a movie. She gets whatever y'all go out on 5 nights a week. But she saved money because those nights she didn't have to spend money on her dinner. She put that in her pocket. So she got to save $250 that week. So you guys are $500 apart from each other at the end of the week. Does that sound fair in any situation?
I mean, when you put it that way, it's not fair. It's not fair. I mean, when it comes to dating, even now, you know, I mean, a lot of women still say that, you know, they want to be more independent and, you know, putting stuff like that. But, yeah, when it comes to dating, it's generally the majority of the time the woman comes out better money-wise, generally.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, again, I'm not against any of that stuff. I'm not against traditionalism. But I like things to stay on par for the course. And here's the problem. You have a lot of women who will say things like you said, I want to be independent. I don't need no man. They new age. They think they should get paid the same as a man. Hell, they think they should get paid more in some instances. So if this is the case, and then just break it down to the Black community. Black men are out of work at huge numbers now. Why should we even be thought? Matter of fact, they should slide the bill to the Black woman. The next date I go on, I want them to. I'm going to ask them. Slide the bill over to her because there are more Black men unemployed than Black women. I don't understand why people don't get that one, why somebody doesn't look at me and say, well, you know, he got a point. You think I even have a point on that idea?
I'll say this, like, and, you know, I had lost my job a little while ago, and I just recently got a bad job again, thank God. And I was, during that time, you know, it was very hard, you know, to go out and date because, you know, I personally still, you know, felt like, you know, I needed to pay for stuff. But, yeah, it was kind of hard to try to go to a woman to try to say, hey, you know, can you get this date? You know, I get the next one.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, you know, because, you know, I mean, a lot of women don't want to hear that. I mean, wherever women can, they're going to be like, because if guys start talking about, like, you know, hey, can you give me on one day, I get you on another day, they're going to be like, no. You know. No woman doesn't want no. I mean, even today, no woman wants a guy that can't pay. Sorry to say that. I mean, that might be sound sexist, but a lot of women have that thought process. You go out on a date, and the guy says, "Can you go ahead and pay for the date tonight?" That's gonna be the last date.
And here's the funny part about it to me, and I'm going to go to another call after this, but Daniel, I just want to point this out to you. You can tell me if I'm wrong or right. I like to hear if I'm wrong sometimes, so you can tell me.
All right.
You get in a situation where before when you meet a woman, you got to take them to a nice place. You got to do a lot of stuff. You got to do a lot of stuff to try to get with them. By the time you finally sleep with them, they'll take McDonald's. You can go and buy a number two. As a matter of fact, they're not trying to break you no more. They understand that y'all going to get a McChicken meal for $2.99. You can tell her, baby, pick up me some Arby's before you get home. Why is it okay for me after you doing way more work? Because you're sleeping with me now. So you're doing way more work than you were doing at the beginning, but I can give you way less than when I was trying to get with you. I got to give you way more, and you do nothing. Do you think that's backwards?
I guess I want to look at it like this, like, you know, you want it, I guess, yeah, it is, it's kind of effed up. I don't know the right way to respond to it. It is effed up, like, yeah, you had to pay so much effort at the beginning, and you got to spend all that money to get to being okay to McDonald's. I mean, if it's okay at the end of it, why is it not okay at the beginning of it? I guess it is effed up. I mean, it is effed up to be expecting this, all this money and stuff like that, and then later on it's okay. Then it's kind of like, well, damn, you know. So you got me. You maybe buy that lobster just so you can see I can buy the lobster or what?
There you go.
I mean, that
they want to see if you can afford it. Yep, they want to see what you can do, and a lot of people want you to see what they can do before you. I mean, with the stuff that they can't even do. That's the funny thing about it. Daniel, do me a favor. Stay on if you want to keep on listening. I see you listening online. I see you chatting inside the chat. I'm going to go to another call. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back to another call. So caller 678-358. I'm going to come to you right after the break. This is Your World, My Views, and tonight we're talking about the plight of black men in America. And what are your opinions on that? We're going to come back with a couple more calls about my bad dating. We're going to talk about the news, and we're going to go into the topic with Mr. Michael Adams. This is Your World, My Views.
Hey, baby, is that you?
Yes, baby, I'm home.
Wait a minute. You just went to the beauty salon a few hours ago. But wow, you look great.
I know. I decided to try this place my friend told me about called Ladies of Elegance. You know, the home of the tree braids.
Yeah, I heard about them. But what are tree braids?
Well, tree braids are a unique, low-maintenance, yet elegant style technique that can be worn by women with natural or chemically altered hair. It can also promote hair growth and can last from up to 6 to 8 weeks. And the best part is that it usually takes 3 to 4 hours to do.
Wow, baby. You look fantastic. But I just got one question for you.
What's that, baby?
Can I pull it? Ladies of Elegance Salon, Spa, and Product Line are family-owned companies that take a personal commitment in helping women enhance themselves with simple elegance. So check them out on the web at www.ladiesofelegance.com. That's www.ladiesofelegance.com. Or dial 404-890-5695. That's 404-890-5695 for employment opportunities as well as appointment setting. Ladies of Elegance, helping you find a more beautiful you.
Let me get my cellular out. Call your wrecker. Oh, shoot. I got no phone. Because I'm a pothole. So... Okay, bye.
Accidents are bad. But Geico's good with emergency road service.
After working here for a few years...
I knew it was time to move on.
But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career, and everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get,
birthday!
I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call.
At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
It's the money you could be saving with GEICO. Even after this commercial ends, he'll be here waiting. He just wants you to save money. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy. Give us free Sotomayor, joined by Miss Renee Bishop and Thank you guys for joining us today as we are going to be talking about the plight of the black man, the United States in America, the black male. And I'd like to, what we were talking about before was the idea of me dating and my bad dating habits. What I want to do is bring in another phone caller who's going to tell me about how bad my dating habits are. Call us 678-358. You're on the air. Is this Miss Nicole Walker?
Walker, how are you?
I am fine, Miss Walker. What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm just listening to what you said about this whole should he pay, should she pay, and this whole dating thing. And as I was thinking back,
go ahead.
23 years when I first started dating, I was 18 years old. I didn't have that mentality of he should pay, I should pay. It was just a thing where we were just having a good time. We were trying to get to know each other, and it didn't really matter. The 80s mentality is totally different from the 2010 dating mentality. And you know, I'm straight up old school when it comes to stuff like that. My first date with my boyfriend, now husband, was KFC. And even though he paid the first time, the second time I paid, it didn't even matter. And to spruce things up, sometimes we went to higher-end restaurants. Sometimes we went to lower-end restaurants. Sometimes we went to middle-of-the-road restaurants. Sometimes we even cooked for each other.
Thank you. What happened to those days?
Those days are very long gone. No one, and as a footnote, the goal in mind was not to just get some. Okay, let me just make it clear. The goal in mind was us to formulate a relationship, a friendship first, then if it was going to spark into a relationship to lead to bigger and better things, then that was going to happen naturally. And it just so
girl, that was your goal.
That was your goal. Well,
I'm saying, but that was your goal. A man, I don't care who he is, we are very visual creatures. Now, we'll end up marrying you and be in love with you and love you for the rest of your life. When we first met you, our whole goal was to see if we could bed you. That's what a man does. We find love from bedding you. We don't find love before bedding you.
Well, he didn't get it. It took him a long time before he got it. So if that was his intention, and even now, we talk about the first time we met, and that wasn't what he was wanting. He's looked at me, and when he saw me working at a hospital in my working uniform. So he really could, all he saw was a woman that
face.
Was dressed. He saw what I really was, a working woman. So, you know, as
with
far as him
face.
And his, thank you.
let's keep it real. If I'm sitting with your man, here's one of the reasons why he married you. One, because if he's walking around and his friends see him with you, it's a pride that he gets. It's the same reason why we buy a car. Visually, it's something that, you know what, I can take this home. My friends will see this car and think, wow, he's got a good job. Or, wow, that's a nice car. It's the same thing we see a woman. Like you said, if I get a woman and I bring her home and she's pretty like you are, and then I say, hey, this is my woman. When my homeboy's going to give me dap, man, you girl fine. And she work at the hospital, dog. That's what a man does. That's who he want to marry. He don't want to just marry a woman because she's fine, but she's a stripper. You don't want to do that.
I had a lot, my mentality was different then. My mentality is the same as it was now. I was a bookworm then, and I am now. I read everything. When he met me, I had a book in my hand. When he approached me, and I'm emphasizing he approached me, because I was not looking for anyone at the time. I'm just working. I'm working in the kitchen at a hospital. And he approached me. And that, to me, you know, that was the beginning of it all. You know, I was not out there looking for nobody. I did not have to go out and approach. I wasn't big on that anyway. I felt like if a man really wanted to holler at me, they're going to have to come to me because I don't chase after no man. I'm too good of a woman to have to go around chasing after some man. So when he approached me, I was totally surprised, and here it is 23 years later, and we're still together. And as far as the dating went, as far as us is concerned, before we even began a true relationship, it was always 50-50. We never, you know, I never assumed that he was going to always save, because we worked at the same place, and we knew what our income status was. So therefore, it was safe for me to assume that we're going to have to, you know, cover each other every now and then. And once we get to know each other, this is going to be a natural thing. And let's be a little creative about it. Let's cook for each other. Let's do things that will spice the friendship to grow into a relationship. Let me show this man that I'm not trying to get into his pocket or try to see what he has. Although he was very well established, even at the age of 21, he had already been in the Navy. He has his own apartment. He had his own vehicle. He was well established on his job. He was also very resourceful, and still is very resourceful. So those were the things that were on my top 10 list. And the other few things that he was lacking, well, you know what? I figure like this. Out of a top 10 list, if a woman sets up, has a list of 10 things that they are looking for in a man, and out of those 10 things, three things he's lacking, you better go for what you know and go with him, because those three little things that he's lacking, he's going to either work on them or continue to do what he's doing. And if you was okay with it in the beginning, then you're going to be okay with it in the end. You know?
Well, that's the biggest thing. When we're talking about dating and this whole idea of paying, you said something, and I want to elaborate on that. You said, I look at it this way. Any guy worth his salt is not going to walk into it trying to impress you with money, because guys that's trying to impress you with money are just trying to sleep with you, and they feel like that's the easiest way to get you into bed.
And he never did that. He didn't do anything exactly out of the ordinary to impress me. He was himself, and to be quite honest with you, we have this ongoing joke that he was stalking me around that hospital. It's like he followed me around that hospital for about a month before he finally approached me, and when he approached me, I was so scared. I didn't even see it coming. But at the same time, I was flattered because it was done so nice. Everything was done in its proper place. So for that, you know, I gave him 10 points for chivalry. I gave him another 5 points for good looks. Gave him another 10 points for having his own car. Another 20 points for his own apartment, and another 1,500 points for being resourceful. Ex-Navy man, knows how to cook. Okay, so there were so many things that was going for him even back in 1988. It's 10 times 10 surpassed in 2010. You know what I'm saying? So for me, if I was to go back out in the dating scene, I don't know how I would conduct myself, because women set the standard. The standards are so low now. Everybody just wants to go out and have sex, and their basis of meeting people are websites, tags, Twitter, tweet, Facebook, MySpace.
We don't know how to interact with each other. I am a victim of that. I'm a texter. I'm not a caller. I don't know how to really speak to people. Not that I don't know how to speak to people. I do it all the time, and it gets tiring. Actually, for me, it gets old to do it all day. It's kind of like a guy who cuts hair. He get tired when he come home. He's not trying to hear you say, "Well, why don't you cut mine too?" You've been cutting hair all day. I've been talking all day. I want to stop talking after a while. So I'm not a big talker, but I'm going to agree with you on that. We're about to get into the news. Do me a favor, Nicole. Stick around, and I want to bring you back in when we start talking about the topic, because some of the things you were bringing up was actually some things that fall under the plight of the black male in America today. So stick around. I want to bring you back in a little bit later from the show. It's cool?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I was ready for you. Just so you know, I studied on you. I did my little homework on you. So I was ready for you tonight.
It's tame right now. It's gonna get a little deeper when we bring on Mike. When we bring on Michael Adams, who's coming on in a little while, we're gonna get a little deeper. But I'm gonna try to keep it respectful. So make sure that I don't jump on Mike and he don't jump on me. But stay on. We're gonna bring you back on a little bit later. All right.
Cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's my little diatribe on dating. I'm not trying to pay you. She hit the nail on the head though when she said about I'm trying to bed you. That's pretty much accurate. That's what I'm trying to do. At least I'm honest about it. I'm not gonna lie to a woman and tell her, you know, I met you. I saw the sparks fly. You were fine. Now I might have seen some sparks fly after I talked to you, but the first thing a man sees, the only reason he will approach you is because you look good, not you look smart, not you look like you got a 1350 on your SAT. There was something about you that he liked, that he was like, you know what, I'm going to do my best to try and make myself end up
in the news with your host, Thomas Sotomayor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. We are now in my favorite part of the show, and that is in the news. And what's going on in the news today, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. There was a Florida man who shot 7 people and killed 4 in a restaurant. Now, a gunman fatally shot 4 women and wounded 3 in a Metro Miami restaurant Sunday night before he turned that gun on himself and shot himself. Now, Mark Overton, that's who I talked to, he's the chief of police. And basically, he said the incident most likely stemmed from a domestic dispute. The shooter first argued with a woman that he had a relationship with in the parking lot of the Yoyito restaurant. Then he went into a restaurant where he confronted another person he knew and began shooting. A total of 7 people were shot, and they were all women. 4 of them are dead, 1 sustained life-threatening injuries, and the other 3 were in critical condition, and then they passed. Woo! I guess this goes back to what I was saying, number one, about Wendy's. Watch what you're saying to people. And then number two, watch who you arguing with. I mean, if you know, ladies, I think, not ladies, men too, because I've been watching Snap every weekend. That's what I do. I watch Snap. And a lot of these fellas, they don't realize they woman nutting up. I'm included. You don't realize your girl is nutting up. So you stick around. You keep thinking nobody's going to kill me. They might kill them dudes on TV. These women say anything they want to these men. You punk. All right, you keep calling that man a punk if you want to. Next thing you know, he's at the Yoyito in Miami shooting. And you may find yourself in the news with your host, Billy Graham. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. This is William Billy Graham. Trying not to bring up some bad news, but that was bad news. And speaking of bad news, Mr. Jeroen van der Sloot, they found him, they caught him, they arrested him. This man done killed his 2nd woman. Now, he killed this lady named Stephanie Flores. They believe that he killed her. And basically, the family didn't know who he was. The family were used to Stephanie coming home. She was actually an avid Texas Hold'em card player. She was in a tournament in Peru, in Lima. She won about $5,000. He found out she won $5,000. He basically robbed her and beat the woman with a bat or a tennis racket or something. But he beat her so bad, broke her neck. Did you read that?
I did not.
Yeah, he beat her pretty damn bad. I mean, he beat her badly. Now, he beat her like he knew her. And then what he did was when he left, he told the hotel guy, because they got a film of him walking in there. He gave her some kind of drugs to get her there, I guess. But they got film of him walking in, and he tells the hotel guy when they were getting ready to go in and possibly clean, he put a do not disturb sign, because it took him 2 days to find her. He put the do not disturb sign on there and said, my girl in there. She's sleeping. Leave her alone. So that's why it took him 2 days for him to find her. Now, this is a crazy white dude. Speaking of crazy white dude, Rush Limbaugh marries for the 4th time. Rush Limbaugh is a conservative talk show host. He's the king of conservative talk show hosts. What makes this odd, you ask? Conservatives believe in family values. They believe in family sticking together. They believe in getting drugs off the street. Oddly enough, Rush Limbaugh has done neither. He's been caught with Oxycontin, and he's getting married for the 4th time. Oh, but that ain't the kicker. The marriage, they got married on Saturday, and guess who sang at the reception?
Oh, Lord. I don't know.
Sir Elton John. So now he done brought that into the game. Really?
Well.
Rush Limbaugh, 59 years old, married the 33-year-old Karen Rogers in a Hawaiian-themed affair. Ain't that a B? The conservative talk show host gets married for the fourth time to a 33-year-old woman, a woman literally half his age, which I'm not mad at him because when I'm 59, I'm not going to date a woman over 35. That's just going to be, if I got any money, now if I'm broke, I pretty much date what I can get. That's the bad thing about a 59-year-old that don't have money. He pretty much date what he can get. The 59-year-old with some money get to be distinguished at that point. He's handsome. Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's just old with money. When are people going to stop? That's the difference between men and women. That's why sometimes it's hard. No offense, ladies, but it's hard for me to respect a lot of what women do. When men see this young lady called Whoopi Goldberg, we don't look at Whoopi Goldberg and say she cute at all. No one says that at all. But y'all see Lil Wayne and talk about how cute he is.
I've never heard anybody call Lil Wayne cute.
I've heard them call him handsome, sexy, can't get enough of him, fall out when they see him.
And how old were these females that you're talking about?
I know some grown-ass women, 20-something years old, 25, 30. They hood.
Oh, well, there
but
you go. I mean, wow. You just spoke volumes in the word hood right there.
I'm just saying, they
that
pretty hood.
That
but I'm saying, you see some women. Now, I know women's thought process a little bit different. Like, okay, Sandra Bullock took on the biker. He didn't look like he didn't. They just didn't look like they went together at all. You don't go from Matthew McConaughey to him. But she did. I mean, that's like going from a Bentley to a Hyundai. Pretty damn quick. I don't understand that at all. Maybe, I don't know. I don't see, that always weirds me out. I mean, how do you go from Brad Pitt to Vince Vaughn? Is it just me? Shouldn't you just stop dating? If you can't do at least as good as what you had, then just quit. Say, you know what, I'm good. I've already won. You know what, when John Elway won his championship? He said, I'm good. I don't think I can do much better than this. It ain't like I can win a better championship than this. This is it. Let me quit. These women need to say, you know what, let me quit. Because you didn't see Coretta Scott King out there dating.
Oh.
And she ended up dating the man that owned the convenience store. That's not what went down. She said, you know what,
true.
I'm not going to date some other dude. What, are he going to be the school bus activist? I can't date him now. I'm past that. And look at my girl, JFK's wife. Jacqueline Bouvier.
Mm-hmm.
She went from dating the president of the United States to the damn king of a country.
Right.
And after him, she said, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. I got this dating thing down. I'm not going to date the man that worked at the gas station. Ladies, stop downgrading like that, because what happened is men like us get to look at y'all and laugh, and it really makes us feel good. Every time I look at my ex and see who she dating now, almost every one of my exes have downgraded. I'm like, wow, that dude has no neck. Literally, he has no neck. Your man
but
has
you were the
no
best
arm.
Thing.
Well, I think I look better than them. I don't know about the rest of that shit, but I look better than them. Now, he probably treat them a lot better than I do.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
he treats them a lot better than I do.
I won't even go there, but, you know,
and
it's all about compromise.
I'm just saying. I just look at him. I can't tell you how he treats you. He might beat you like I did. I don't know. That might be how that's going down. I'm not sure. All I can go by is what I see on the outside, and it's pretty dadgum bad. You got to do me a favor, Renee. Go and see if see if the senator's on the line. He may not know to press 1 to talk to us, Mr. Michael Adams. If you want to talk, press 1, because we don't know if you're there, but Renee's going to check for you. Hopefully, if you press the 1, you'll show up. But I'm going to read a little more news before we go to another break. And what else is going on in the news, you ask? Well, even if you didn't ask, I'm telling you. A dad was shot in a custody swap, and police search for the mom and a new boyfriend. Now, this is messed up. That's why I don't drop my daughter off with nobody's stepdaddy or none of that daddy. No, no, no. A man was shot late Sunday night after handing over his one-year-old twins in a custody swap. And police believe that the mother's new boyfriend was the shooter. The shooting occurred outside the Whitney Chase apartments in DeKalb County, where the father lives. Now, the victim's mother told WSB, our affiliate, that she was standing outside to say goodbye to her grandchildren when the shooting happened. She said that as soon as her son put the children in the PT Cruiser, the twins' mother drove away, then gunfire erupted from an SUV that came up from behind the PT Cruiser. Wow, who set this up? Must have been Ray Caruth. Anyway, the father, Kashif Johnson, was shot in the leg and hand. So they weren't even good shooters. How you shoot a man in the leg? He was treated at the Atlanta Medical Center and released Monday morning. And police are searching for the mom and her boyfriend. Police believe she knew what was going to happen, too. The twins had just celebrated their first birthday over the weekend. This is wild. I don't know if you heard that, Renee, but I just read some wildness about a man getting shot.
Right. Yeah, I heard it earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. I figured you would talk about it. Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I don't understand this idea of let me drop my kids off and you don't let your new boyfriend. How long have you been with this dude if the twins just celebrated their first birthday that he needed to shoot me? But then I'm looking at the photo. This is a black couple, these black folks. So pretty much as soon as she got impregnated, she probably had a new boyfriend.
Yeah, well, isn't that typical?
Probably,
I don't know. I've not been in the situation.
No, it's pretty typical. It's pretty sad. But how are you going to get this no-name hitman? This man come and shoot hands and feet. You got to be accurate as hell to shoot. Yeah, you got to. What did you offer him? A McChicken meal? Okay, you can skimp on the first date. You can go half on the first date. You can't go half on no hitman. You can't. You can't get
Time's
the budget hitman. Yeah, you can't get the budget hitman. Come on, dog. What's that about? Let me get the budget hitman. These niggas is charging too much to kill people nowadays. Ain't that serious?
Oh, my gosh.
And then you want to tell them half now and half later. I give you 50 now and 50 after the job is done.
I could see that happening with black folks.
That's just wrong. We getting these killers. These people getting killers in crazy places. Getting a killer for a rock. How you going to hire a crackhead to kill somebody? He can't even go to work on time. He ain't going to kill on time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. And if you want to call in, you want to talk to the host, the number is 347-989-8310. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing the idea and just the whole plight of black men in America. But I got one more story I want to talk about because this one's intriguing to me. This is, like, weird. And again, the number here is 347-989-8310 if you want to call in. Talk about anything. Murder charges against a man accused of killing his friend must be dismissed because Fulton County prosecutors waited too long to get the case to trial. The Georgia Supreme Court ruled Monday that Shaquan Lattimore, who was 18 when he was arrested in 2004 for firing a fatal shot into the chest of his 20-year-old friend, Brian Thompson. Lattimore initially told he told the police that Thompson, and this was in 2004, he said that Thompson shot himself. And when police said that they wanted to test his hand for gunshot residue, he changed the story and said that he had accidentally shot Thompson. Don't you love it when people just go ahead and change their story and you catch them? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I ain't been nowhere. That's funny because your homeboy says you was at the club. Did I say nowhere? I meant the club.
Wow.
But he changed the story when they said, let's go on, let's look at your hand. Now, he basically was guilty, but they threw the case out and they got to let this man go. Because it was 2004 when he was arrested. It's 2010 and he still has not been to court. I'm not mad at that. Honestly, I'm not. Why would you, how can you keep somebody in jail for 6 years and they have not had a trial? And that's basically what they threw it out of. It was a 4-3 vote today and the court found that Lattimore's right to a speedy trial had been violated. Are you offended by this, that they threw this out, or are you more offended that it took them 6 years to take this man to trial?
I'm disturbed by the fact that it took 6 years. I'm wondering what happened in the interim.
I'll tell you what happened. He was a black man in America. He was. I'm just saying, you're a black man in America. They keep you in jail for just as long as you want to. They know you don't have nobody to get you out. You know, that's how my grandma used to always say stuff. They keep you in jail as long as you want to. But the whole point is, they don't care. They will keep you there because no one else has the money to afford to get you out. If you don't have money, you screwed in the justice system. It's not justice for all. It's justice for the rich. And that it falls in line with our topic, which is the plight of the black man in America. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come right back with your calls. So call in now at 347-989-8310. Mr. Michael Adams, if you're there, press 1 so we can talk to you, because I don't see you, man. This is Your World, My Views. We'll be right back.
Hello, loyal following. Tommy Fit for the Summer Sotomayor here, and I would like to talk to you about getting into amazing shape over the next 3 months. What am I talking about, you ask? Well, if you're anything like me and used to have those ripped abs in your early 20s, but now find yourself in your, later 20s and beyond with just maybe 2 cans left in a keg and want to do something about it, well, look no farther and wait no longer, because I've found the solution, P90X. The fine people at Beachbody have put together a 12-DVD program that requires nothing but your commitment and 90 days, no gym equipment, and no membership fees. The P90X is a revolutionary system of 12 sweat-inducing, muscle-pumping workouts designed to transform your body from regular to ripped in just 90 days. You'll also receive a comprehensive 3-phase nutrition plan, specially designed supplement options, a detailed fitness guide, a calendar to track your progress, online peer support, and much, much more. Your personal trainer, Mr. Tony Horton, will keep you engaged every step of the way, and you won't believe the results. The secret behind the P90X system is an advanced training technique called muscle confusion, which accelerates the results process by consistently introducing new moves and routines so your body never plateaus and will never get bored. Whether you want to get lean, bulk up, or just get plain ripped, there's endless variety of ways to mix and match routines and to keep you motivated for the full 90 days and beyond. Want proof? Join me and the rest of the Your World, My Views following today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today, as I go from fine to even finer in just 90 days. So get on board now at www.yourworldmyviews.com. On the homepage, scroll down, click Get Started Today. P90X, 100% guaranteed satisfaction or your money back. So what are you waiting on? Get it today.
Settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.T. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
I have an annuity, but I need cash now.
Call J.T. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW. 877-CASH-NOW.
They have thousands, they'll help you too.
One lump sum of cash they will pay to you.
Get long-term payments, but you need cash now.
Call J.T. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it.
Call J.T. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
The five-buck box, it rocks, it rocks. It rocks for a meal with lots and lots. It rocks for a jock, it rocks for a fox. It rocks blocking shots on guys with dreadlocks.
What comes in this box that rocks?
A cheesy gordita, crunch to much.
We are the cheeseburger industry.
A crunchy taco and cinnamon twist? Both on the list, and wait, let me think, an ice-cold drink. That is lots and lots in just one box. It is only $5, and that's why it rocks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
This is Your World, My Views. I am your host, Mr. Tommy. Give us free Sotomayor. We're talking about the plight of the black man, the black male in America. And we want to address this from several different angles. And one of the things that caught my eye was the fact that the most unemployed group in the United States right now is black males. Now, are we unemployed because we are lazy? Are we unemployed because we are not qualified? Why is the black male the most unemployed group in the United States? These questions and more. One of the biggest things I have a problem with, and I would like to, I'd probably rather let people talk about it instead of me talking about it. The number here is 347-989-8310. Press 1 if you want to talk and get on the line with us. Talk about the idea of the plight of the black man in the United States, in America. I want you to give me your thoughts on what you think are the biggest issues facing black males today. And when I was speaking online, there were a lot of issues, actually, that people thought were facing the black man. And I will go to you, Renee, to start off. Well, Renee, I'm just going to go to the phone calls. I'm going to do that, and then I'll come back to you, all right? I'm going to pick up a phone call.
Sure.
301-751, you are on the air.
Edward. That's Edward.
Hey, what's up, TJ? This is Ed.
What's up, Ed?
Not much. Sorry,
right,
I've been away from the lady handling stuff.
Yeah, I was about to cuss you out. I was wondering, you know, where's Ed been? I don't appreciate
but,
you not telling me you're gonna be gone.
No, I'm back. But I think you know, I'm thinking that the plight of the black man, or at least the problems that we have, I think they start with the family. And just not, you know, just the extinction of the black family and not being able to form bonds with our, you know, cross-gendered, our black women and raising our children in two-parent households. And I think every problem that we are dealing with, I think it all stems back to those type of issues, whether it's why we represent the largest population in prison, or why we don't complete high school or go to college. I think all of those issues can stem back to the family.
Now, I got to ask you a question on that, because that is something I wanted to address, so kudos to you for getting that done. Why do you think that is? When most black men, when you hear them talk about their mom, they love their mom. Their mom, everything they relate to back is their mom. My mom told me this. They were raised by their mom. No dad was there. So if this is the case, wouldn't it seem like we would cherish women and get along with women? Why do you think that we don't get along with them if we're raised by one?
Well, I think it has to do with the differences in how the black man and the black woman is treated. Maybe, let's say, for example, in corporate America, you know, the black female is more easily accepted to be in the corporate offices before you see a black man there, because of this whole intimidation of black men to, you know, to white America. And then they get these jobs, they're excelling, they're making more money, they're having more opportunities before black men do, and then there's this whole power struggle when they get into a relationship. Like, if she makes more money, he still wants to be the head of the household.
Mm-hmm. Do we even get to that point, though? Are black relationships to the point of where we even honestly, are black men trying to be the head of the household? I'm a black man, and it's just my opinion. I don't think black men are trying to be the head of the household. We don't derive our machismo from being family men. We derive our machismo from how many women we sleep with.
I think that's a myth. I mean, I think it's, if it's, if
I mean,
it's
I'm
true,
just looking at the fact that 80% of all black children are born out of wedlock. So, I mean, you can give me some number to counteract my because, like I said at the beginning of the show, I like to believe in, if I'm going to have an opinion, I like to base it upon some facts. So I base that upon the fact that, one, I look at our culture, society. All we do is talk about, if you just look at our music, all we do is talk about how many hoes we slept with and to be the number one CD out there. Then you got 80% of all black children being born out of wedlock. You tell me that it's a myth, I'll give you the floor.
No, you're right. I can't. There is nothing to counter that. The numbers speak that your point is more true than any other point. But it's, I mean, I just think that there are other reasons why, you know, why the man is not in the household. I don't think 80% of men cheat, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm looking through, you know, pink goggles and trying
rose
to think the best
color. Rose color.
right. I'm trying
I'm
to
gonna ask you
my...
an honest question. I'm going to ask you an honest question. Have you ever cheated?
Me? Not really. I
Why you had to stutter like that, man? Why you going to say me like I was talking to that other Edward?
I'd just be dating, and it's like maybe they might think I'm not. I mean, we never, it's not official, and then if I'm seeing somebody else, it's not really cheating, you know?
Yeah. Did you let them know you'd be seeing anybody else?
No, but I mean, it's not often, though. It's not recent either.
All right. Well, here's my the only reason I say that, you're right. You're looking through rose-colored glasses, and it's good that you look through it, because the only way to change that 20% and flip it and make that 20% become 80 is that we need enough people who believe in what the 20% believe and also believe in spreading the word. I mean, Christianity wasn't the number one religion at one point, but it kept spreading, and it became the number one religion. So, in the United States. So, I mean, that's how it works. So I'm glad you have that opinion. But what do you do? I mean, in your situation, I know you, I don't know if you mind discussing the situation, but you are a father and you're an unmarried father, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, did you derive yourself your feeling? Because a friend of mine, we were watching a TV show about, I think it was Gary Busey, and we were watching it. And I looked over, and she looked over at me, and because Gary Busey decided to marry the woman he got pregnant when he was like 20. And he stayed with her until that child was basically 18. And most of these white men, if you see them, they'll stay and they'll get married when the woman says she's pregnant, and they'll stay with her until the child's 18, whether they're upset or not, whether they are happy or not. Out of a sense of obligation, they feel like the next step is marriage. Why didn't you feel like the next step was marriage?
Well, my situation, I happen to, my gamble, I got snake eyes in my case. I got the worst baby mama anybody could ever imagine. So it's given me a totally, I still try to have a positive view of black women, but I got the worst handshake on this, where because I tried to do something with myself, I became a lawyer, she wants to take me to cleaners, you know?
But I'm asking,
I mean,
at the beginning part, like what we're trying to get to the part where you brought up the family structure. Why wasn't there an issue at the beginning where you were like, let me marry this woman before I get her pregnant? Or once I got her pregnant, let me marry her?
Well, I'm going to – well, I guess I just didn't want to go there. But actually, I did marry her.
Okay.
And only because the mother said – the grandmother said, I will not have anything to do with my child's life if I don't marry her. So I did that. She was a monster. I left, and that would have been after less than a year.
Okay, well, you did the right thing. Okay, and it didn't
I
work.
Tried.
Well, you tried to do the right thing. So you are one of the 20% of brothers that try to, even if they can't marry the woman, stick around and take care of the children. Now, the problem is, again, were you raised by your mother and father or just your mother?
I was raised with my mother and father until I was maybe 14 years old.
All right, good deal. So you had that background of wanting to see what you saw when you grew up, whether they divorced or not. You were raised most of your informative years of seeing something that in your eyes was normal, of having your mother and father. Most black men don't see that, and I'm still trying to figure out the idea of, just to address this point, black men tend to have very good relationships with their mothers and poor relationships with black women. Do you think it's because the black women, because my mom pointed this out, maybe you can agree or disagree. My mom pointed this out about herself. She talked about how she was towards men until she had boys. Then once she had boys, she said she never wanted some girl to do us like she used to do men. It's kind of like boys when they are men when we have daughters. We're more protective of our daughters.
Right.
Do you think that because black women don't have their mother, their father around, that they're not like our mother? So we love our mother, but we can't love them because they're nothing like our mother.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. It's like, I mean, if they don't have a role model to be able to see what a man is supposed to be like, even if he's, you know, not the best father, just to have some idea of what they should be expecting, yeah, I think it probably totally skews their vision of a man and it makes them treat us, you know, a certain way. So I would agree with you on that. But
okay, now, how do you pose we fight against that? How do you plan on fighting against it on a daily basis? Because people always tell me, they say, well, we talk a lot, but we never formulate action plans. So you brought up the idea of the family structure. How do you
well,
– go ahead.
Well, for me, I just think I'm just going to look at – I don't look at a family as something that's impossible. And I know a lot of men that I know do, and they're like, oh, I'm never getting married. But, I mean, I just try to have a positive view and be like, one day – I will meet somebody that I can marry because I'm not. I don't want to ever be, you know, divorced or away from my kids. So that's why it's so hard. Because I guess maybe I'm too picky, but I'm gonna at least have a positive outlook that I will be married, and I will have a family, and I won't be a philanderer. Because I think we talked about this before, where I said I'll never cheat or whatever, but. I think what my issue was, my father used to, I mean, he was a ladies' man even when he was with my mother, and I was like, I don't want to be like that. And,
really?
Yeah, he died at AIDS, so it's like I have a lot of motivation to not be like my father.
Right. You know, one of the hardest things to fight, that's an internal struggle that a lot of people, when they're trying to fight that, it's like having a dad who's abusive. And you're going to go two ways. You'll grow up and say, I never want to beat my mom. But that girlfriend you have isn't your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of easy to put hands on her, i.e. Chris Brown, even though you know that is not what you want to do. And you grew up your whole time saying you wouldn't want to do it. I lost a cousin who we grew up and we saw someone else die selling dope. And I remember we were 13, and he said, we'd never do that. He ended up doing it. He ended up dying doing the same, getting killed doing the same thing. And I remember us making the pact that we wouldn't do it.
No, it's hard because, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm like, I can't put all my eggs in one basket. I got to have a whole bunch. but I do have the outlook that I will have one woman. I'm a woman man, and that is motivated by not wanting to leave this earth early like my father did because of, you know, the decisions he made.
I definitely understand that. Edward, stick around. I want you to bring you back on the after show, but stick around. We'll listen to a lot more of the people, what they have to say in the plight of the black man on this episode of Your World, My Views. Thank you for coming back, though, man.
Yeah, I'll explain later.
All right. Let's see. We're going to go to another call. We're going to pick up a phone call real quick. 404-914. Caller, you're on the air. And before you speak, anyone else that wants to call, the number is 347-989-8310. We were looking for Michael Adams. Michael, if you're there, Michael, call in. Press 1, 347-989-8310. Mike, call in. You done stood me up, Mike. But caller 404-914, you're on the air.
Big Meech.
Meech.
Hey.
What's happening, Meech?
I'm right here. You got me?
I got you. All right, Meech. I'm glad you called because you, as well as a couple of other people, when we were discussing this before we went on the air, brought up a couple of points that I definitely wanted to touch. And I wanted to address something before you talk. The name of the show was The Plight of the Black Man in the United States. And then I changed I said the plight of the black male in the United States. And as you saw, someone asked or made reference to the fact that there was a difference between a male and a man, and I stopped and I said, see, that's why I said plight of the black male, because, one, I'm not trying to offend anyone, because one's personal belief of what a man entails is different than someone else's. And you made a comment afterwards, so I would like for you to elaborate on the comment that you made.
Okay. Well, the whole idea is everyone is the idea of being a man is going to be very subjective, because we have a lot of societal definitions of what is masculine and what is supposed to be hardcore to define the plight of men or the male. That is. And in this particular generation, we have a lot of people, a lot of men folk, males, those that carry, those who were born without a vagina. We have those in this particular generation who have become lazy and shiftless, and we are in a state of pimpdom, gangster, hustler mode. And a lot of them feel as though they are entitled to have that, because that's a part of ghetto swagger, that's a part of keeping it real, that's a part of not being soft, you know, that's a part of not having anybody come up against them to say they ain't a man, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's the flip side to what happened years ago, because years ago, when we were in slavery days or whatever, the whole idea was we were beautiful black, brawn, buxom bucks that were willing to be on the field. And we worked hard. We worked hard. But we never made any coins to raise the family. Now, in slavery days, we did not have an option. That was forced upon us. Now, we have options. And yet, because we pimps and gangsters and ballers and carrying on, the option has become to sit back and let our bitches take care of us, because that's what being a player is. I'm letting my bitch handle all that. Okay. And the saddest thing about it is that women have allowed that to happen, because women have evolved as well. When the woman was, when she had her man's back, and she lifted him up, and during slavery time, she took care of his wounds. She made sure that the house was clean and well, because she did it as a joy, because it was part of the family survival. Then it switched to where she did it because she had to, because he was no longer there. Then it switched to, she got to do everything, why the hell do I need him here? And then it got evolved to where he's here, a piece of dick is better than none at all. And so now they created this whole idea of what the man is supposed to be. And if he ain't this big old boy, you know, or this hard factor, or somebody that's going to get up in her face and put her in her place because she's so strong and she basically has become the man that she wanted, if he ain't up in her face to challenge her, okay, then he's too weak for her. And so we have this paradigm going on, and the plight of the black man now is we don't know what the hell is going on with the black man, period, because he's lost his identity wholeheartedly, because there's nothing there for him to grasp to, because we've gone from one end of the spectrum to the opposite, and no one is there to show them the happy medium. Those black men who are out there, who are on the ground, who are doing what they need to do, a lot of them don't have time to mentor brothers anymore. Why? Because look at the economy. The economy itself has dictated to where I don't have time because I'm doing two or three or four jobs. So when do I have time to sit down to mentor anybody, because I'm always on the job somewhere. I'm paying taxes. As a single man myself, I got 24.2% of my damn income going into taxes. And then my tax dollars, I get to see this fool sitting up on his ass because he's letting his bitch take care of him. She with 1,500 children. And then instead of the money going to the kids, she making sure he got his goddamn gold green so he can have his player status. The fuck is that?
Hey, you broke it down right there. You're getting a lot of amen over in the chat. But I wanted to say this too. This is one way I wanted to address it, and the reason I'm so glad you called is because one of the other plights of the black male is that I saw, and you talk about a paradigm. You try this.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for the black male to be anything other than, like you said, this player, this I got a bunch of hoes. Black women would prefer to see a black man with 9 or 10 kids by 9 or 10 women than to be homosexual. That's like the thing that hell no, you can't be it. But you know what the funny thing about
it? But here's the dichotomy to that.
Yeah, well, so that's what I was about to say. When they describe the man that they claim they want, a man that is educated.
That is sensitive, educated.
Mm-hmm. A man that has
someone
his own,
who listens.
A man that listens.
Has got his own.
What kind of man are they generally describing, especially here in Atlanta?
We won't put that in Atlanta. We just did so nationwide because the whole thing is that it's nationwide. A woman wants what she wants. She wants someone that's going to listen to her, that's going to put up with her shit because she talks a lot, okay? And someone to understand all of that bantering, okay? And she wants someone that's going to be sensitive to her needs. She wants a man to, it's almost being, to know something through osmosis. And that there is part of the lovemaking. See, we're so busy focused on the physical aspect, we forget the mental. And if you know how to have foreplay, foreplay is all in the mind. And if you got a woman in her mind, honey, you could take her to the end of the world. You could take her to hell and back, for real. And that's why the pimps and the ballers and the hustlers got these women the way that they are, because they know how to get them up in their mind. It's just like being using the pimps on TV. As long as you got her mind, it's cool. And a woman describes that that's what she wants as a partner. But she claims she don't want a gay man, or that's too gay, that's too this, because it looks upon as being soft. When actually that's what she wants when it comes time to cuddle and watching TV and watching the chick flicks where you're crying and, you know, Steel Magnolias and The Color Purple and What's Love Got to Do With. Oh, that's so sad. And this time that she wants all that, but at the same time, she really don't want it from a man. See, the whole thing of it is that all of that masculine stuff that they claim that they want, that hardness, that thugness, that this and that, is fantasy. It only works in the bedroom. Grab you by the back of your head, throw you down, call you a bitch, hit it like that. Oh, daddy, yes, it only works in the bedroom. Because when it's all said and done, when we get back out into the real world, you only got a limit for all of that because I'm only going to take so much because I'm an individual.
Yep. And that's the funny thing. I'm glad you brought that up. That's the dichotomy. And what I was wanting to address was that idea of one of the plights of the black male is just the ability that he can't define himself in many different ways. I'll break it down like this. White men are allowed to make movies about going to space, going back in time, being a cowboy, being a cadet, being in the military. They can make movies about anything. White boys can rap, do rock, do grunge, do pop, do anything. White boys can really literally be whatever they want. One of the plights of the black man is we're pigeonholed. A white man can
we're
be gay, come on out and be gay.
We're pigeonholed.
We got to listen to rap.
We're pigeonholed because,
mm-hmm.
We're pigeonholed because we still are the embodiment of slave mentality. Because we've been told, as we have let society tell black folks, what this is and what this ain't. And then we have evolved in ourselves because we didn't want to be identified as that. We didn't want to have this stripped from us and that from us. So we started to define our own culture. And we, as in defining it, we've allowed the stereotypes to hold true. When the hell has the ghetto ever been damn fabulous? But now it's a whole culture of being ghetto fabulous. Ghetto wasn't fucking fabulous. The project was something you wanted to get out of. Y'all watch Good Time.
Yeah.
You want to get out of the project. Well, now they done made it to where the project is the place to be because you get your team and your real. And all the hood rats, all the men, the black men who are project bound, all of them are thugs or thug-ish, drug dealer-ish, pimp-ish, and all of that. Okay?
Yep.
And they sit within that. And so now mainstream society sees all of black men the same. Now that Obama is in office, yes, we have a victory. But nobody who's from the hood sees it as a victory because they ain't got the hood hookup. They're waiting on him to give us the goddamn hookup. And because we ain't got the free cable, and we ain't got the free this, that, and the other, or the low, or whatever, they figure he's a damn sellout.
Thank you. And that's
so
the funny thing,
as far
too.
As the plight of the black man, they don't see Obama as anything positive. They don't look at him being a Harvard graduate, somebody who knows what being on food stamps was about. They don't know that. They hear it, but they don't get it because he ain't giving them the same hookup. And so the men that we have now, which is sad because this is my generation's kids, I don't know where we lost it, but the men that we have now are looking for handouts.
Yes.
And that there is what's probably part of what is destroying us, because they have no work ethic, especially now in a microwave society. If you can just pop it in and go, I mean, hell, look at the telephones now. Everything that we got is at the click of a button. Everything is so this and everything is so that. And black men now are growing up in that same mentality. You ain't got to go to school no more. You can stand on the corner and make your damn G.
Mm-hmm.
The folks on the corner, the ball of the can, are making in a day or a week what most folks make in a damn year. That's ridiculous. And all you're doing is standing on the fucking corner. I got to sit up here and catch a bus through snow. I got to sit up here and creep through this, creep through that, crack open books. You know?
No, you're right.
And all of this.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the
all of this is that's part of the plight, and the brothers out there who are making it, and who are pushing pushing against that stereotype. We're the ones that's on the front line getting beat down and hammered because they don't see it as real. When the Cosby Show was on television, do you know how many negative naysayers that said that wasn't real because black folks ain't doctors and lawyers?
Yep.
They believed good times because James Evans was, we in the ghetto struggling. But they never showed us how we overcame.
Right.
They never showed that until they didn't believe James Avery and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came in because he was the hip-hop daddy. Because now Will Smith was the rapper. Oh, they rap. So he must have got out of jail or he must have did something because he rapping. And they didn't believe
they made it where he was overly quote unquote hood. Will Smith on the show was supposed to be hood in a nice area.
Exactly.
But
Go ahead, Renee.
One of the things that we haven't taken into consideration, which to me I wasn't following in chat, I was able to, as far as where people said the difference between a man and a male. There is in my mind, but also I'm looking at the aspect of male being even children. This plight is not
That's why I changed it to where I wanted it to be, because I don't like the fact that as soon as we word something one way, honestly, as black people, we will pigeonhole and discriminate.
Right.
And the first thing
absolutely.
I thought of is when I put man on there, I'm going to get some. Excuse my French, but I'm going to get some a-hole that gives their own ghetto definition of what a man is and literally skips over the problems that plague the black men.
Right.
Period. Because gay, straight, tall, short, light-skinned, dark-skinned, they're black men, and what's plaguing them, and 99-9, what's plaguing them is plaguing all of them. So when we stop breaking these things down and putting people off over in corners and shunning them, then maybe we can get issues dealt with realistically and logically. And Meech, I want to bring you back for the after show if you can stick around, if that's cool.
Yeah, because I wanted to make a point that Anissa said in the chat room about men's health being part of the plight.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we're going to be in the after show in about 25 minutes. 25 minutes. So
I'm going to stand back.
I want to share.
Go ahead.
A quick statistic as far as black males, 1 out of 8 black men in their 20s right now is in prison or jail. 1 out of 3 black males born now are expected to go to prison or jail.
1 out of 3, damn.
Yes. And I like the word, and I'm being facetious with it, expected. To me, that word, there's power in the word expected.
That's power and expectation.
That's disturbing. Yeah, of course. But that's,
remember, I talked earlier about the idea of what makes a man mad on a date is when you expect something. That's what pisses him off.
Right. Okay, go back to the callers.
Oh, okay. I thought you had some more.
I mean, I do have more, but I was just sharing something.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Callers, we're going to get back to you guys right now. And anybody else that wants to talk, the number is 347-989-8310. This is Your World, My Views, and I'm going to answer yet another call. And this is 404-493. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, I just kind of tuned in, but I'm remiss if somebody already made this point, but I actually have a nonprofit addressing black men or marginalized men. And I think the problem with the black man today is that nobody values them. You know, we've had Oprah on TV for 25 years telling black women they can do anything they want to do. They're powerful. And that's a powerful message on daytime. And we can see black women have soared in everything that they do, knocking down doors and everything. But nobody has done that for the black man. Nobody has lifted him up, you know, as he needs to be. He needs to be lifted up.
Well, first off, let me know who I'm talking to. I love the New York accent, so I'll make sure I know. Go, who is this?
I'm not from New York. Amira.
Amira, it sounds like you got a New York accent going now.
Everybody
like,
says that. Okay, I was married to somebody from New York for a long time. But I have two sons, and that's why I'm so passionate about the that's why I made sure I was going to tune in tonight, because I'm so passionate about the black man. I mean, if a black man come up to me selling incense and CDs, I'm going to buy him. You know, because...
Well, we selling shirts and all kind of stuff on the page. You need to go on there. We got a fabulous shirt out right now, and it says, what, Renee? What does this shirt say for Father's Day?
Oh, I'm not a dad because of what I did. I'm a dad because of what I do.
You need to get
that
shirt.
Sweet.
Exactly.
All right, yeah. No doubt.
Well,
how much is that shirt?
How much is that?
So I ask you, are you local to Atlanta?
Yes.
I'll give it to you for $15.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's a beautiful shirt, too. You can check it out. You can look online and check out
now
the shirt.
Now I got to find a father to get that shirt, too.
We'll deal with that later.
But, no, I want to go to your point. I love that somebody that's passionate, and you're passionate about black men, and when I get off the show later, I got a hotel room there, so I want to see how passionate you really are about black men.
Yeah.
But honestly, when you're talking about it, that is true, that black men aren't lifted up. Chris Rock made a joke about it, about the fact that black women have all these beautiful songs about being a good mom, even though they were ghetto and on crack and had kids that lived with their grandmama. They still good parents by what the male sings about. But when they sing about their father, it's Papa was a Rolling Stone. It's always a bad deal when it comes to the father. Even one of the previous callers, he said, well, you know, my dad died for being promiscuous. But, hell, most of our moms were promiscuous, too. It wasn't like the dude was out cheating and the woman was just sitting at home waiting. The largest group of people who are catching AIDS are black women. And they're not catching it sitting at home looking at TV. So what would you do as far as to help lift up the black male? What are some of the things you'd like to do?
What am I doing? You know, it's amazing because we've been so counterproductive. And I'm a black woman, so no doubt I'm a recipient of all of this love and attention and upliftment, and I'm glad. But I have a program where we find them at, like, preteen age. We write them love letters. We let them know how valuable they are. And I don't care if he's a garbage man or the president. It doesn't matter. You have value. You have worth. In the Jewish community, they celebrate their sons turning, you know, with a bar mitzvah. What do we do for our young black men when they have a rite of passage? We don't do anything. We tell them they're nothing. But it goes to show that if we do... And it's so counterproductive, I say, that we spend all this energy and time uplifting the black woman, because if you lift up the head of something first, and this is just kind of going biblical, if you lift up the head, he will automatically uplift the black woman. It's almost like we've been lifting up the black women, and now what do we have? We have a bunch of black women alone, you know, can't find a man to save their life. But if we would have started 25 with the movement of the black men, making sure he was on point, we wouldn't have, it wouldn't be the same. It would, people think he would sell out or whatever, but automatically, I can promise you, I haven't dated a black man that has been valued and uplifted who has treated me bad.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like once you can't do one thing and think it's going to correct the other thing. I don't know. Like, I can't have surgery on my knee, but my foot is what's hurting because it's counterproductive.
Yeah, you're right.
So we have to.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of things that are going on, and maybe you can attest to this since you are out there in the front lines. We have a lot of young boys, and I was one of them, who were raised because the mom who made the bad decision of sleeping with my dad, who wasn't shit, as you want to call him now that I'm five and I look just like him, and you want to say,
sure,
you're looking like your dad ain't shit, and you taking that out on me. Well, as I grow up, my thoughts of myself as a male is not going to be very high when you're taking it out on me of the bad decision you made. So I will grow up and write a song, talk about how great my mom is, although my mom mentally tormented me by the idea that she couldn't stand the fact that I looked like my father. How many times have you seen that out there where women are usually just real hard on their sons?
Yeah, well, that's what hopefully this nonprofit that I started, Reclaiming Kings, that's hopefully what it will address, is that gap. Because, unfortunately, the parenting is not top-notch or whatever, but hopefully it'll fill in that gap. Because, obviously, people want to talk about how people sagging their clothes and doing this. If you felt as if you had some worth and some value, you wouldn't have the self-destructive behavior that you had. And it's obvious that programs, when they are implemented and executed, they work because 50% of medical graduates are now women, you know, because there was so much upliftment of women that these things do work if you work them, if you do them. But nobody has gave 2 cents about the black man, so we just like, oh, he better get himself together. No, he's a freaking human being. You know, people don't just get themselves together. People get lifted up.
And Edward talked about that. He talked about how black women are easily accessible. And that's another one of the plights in America. Black women are able to get a job because, again, they don't want to see a black man at this office building. They are not comfortable with a black man like myself, a dark-skinned, bald-head black man with a nice, broad set of shoulders walking into the job. No matter what you say, he looks intimidating in their eyes. So it's easier for them to hire a black woman. Black woman makes $100,000. You end up making $60,000 because you had to take less of a job. She starts to look at you less than. You start to feel less than. It's a trickle-down effect, like you said, and it has to be stopped somewhere. And I'm glad someone like you is talking about starting with the children. Tell them a little bit about your program, how they can help.
Oh, goodness, you can go to my website and donate. It's just amirashaw.com. There's a AFA, Affinity for Achievement link, and if you want to go there, it's amirashaw.com. And donate. Basically, we just create the love letters for the low graduation rates that they have in Georgia. We target those schools first because obviously they need the help the most. But just give them that love letter. Give them some, oddly enough, your T-shirts. We kind of make T-shirts with affirming words on them. And hopefully, I'm hoping to propel it enough so that those at-risk students that used to perform very well in school, I want to get the nonprofit to a place where I can send hand-select boys to go to military school if they're just really going to the wayside. I don't know if you're familiar with the other Westmore.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that?
Yeah.
Are you? You are? Yay.
Yeah.
Something like that, because these boys have so much potential, but nobody has the resources to kind of snatch them up and kind of steer them another way. And not to disagree with you on your point of nobody wants to see the black man with the big broad shoulders coming in and working at these offices, I am willing to say that once once you have an awareness of your value, I don't care what. You can't be denied. You won't be denied, period, point blank. I don't care what you look like. I don't care if you have you 300 pounds and a linebacker. Once you know your worth, that's going to shine through any stereotype.
It's one of the things I fight all the time, but I fought that battle. That's why I tell people, hey, that you can really overcome it. I look at myself. When I walked into IBM, you don't know how many racist comments that they didn't even know were racist that they made towards me. But I beat the system. I got in there, and that's why they were making the comments. Like I said, when one of the guys said to me once he read my resume and he got me in there, the first thing he said when I got in there, the interview was, you don't look like a Thomas. Now, in his mind, he didn't know he was being racist. But what the hell does a Thomas look like? He knew what he wanted to say, but he knew he couldn't say it. So in his mind, all he thought was, well, you don't look like a Thomas. But I won him over because I understood I'm not coming in here trying to be belligerent. It doesn't matter what you think about me. I'm getting this job. And I got that job. And almost every time I've ever walked into almost every time I've walked into anywhere, if I got a chance to interview, I got the job because I knew what I could do for you. And I wasn't going to let – I was going to make it very hard for you to say – you can't do it. You are not. I'm not going to hire you. You had to have come up with a good ass reason to be able to do it. Amir, I want you to. I want you to stick that on my page, on my wall, the link so people can get it. And I want you to stick around for the after show. I'm going to answer a few more calls because the lines are lit up now.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, then. All right. We're going to go to my man Brick. Brick, what's going on? Rick the Brick. That's what they told me you would call Rick the Brick.
Oh. I didn't know that one.
You didn't know that. Rick, what's up, man?
Oh, which Rick were you talking about? Were you talking about me, 252?
Yeah, I'm talking about you, Rick. Rick
okay.
The Brick.
Okay. All righty there.
What's up, Rick?
You know, one of the real plights of the black male in America is dealing with the outside oppression and the internal, disconnect that comes from being called or labeled and, trying to define the masculinity in terms of how the European sees what a man is. A man is supposed to be, the bricklayer, the cop, the warrior, all these things that, just never really lined up with where we were before we got here. And so it's like we're trying to put square pegs in round holes. And so, now we're trying to define ourselves as to what we're supposed to be, and it doesn't line up with who we are spiritually. And so, then we have all these other issues in terms of how black women look at us, and then the role of the black woman in terms of, her having to be lifted up. But in reality, we understand that she's the goddess. She's the creator of all things. Without a woman, none of us would be here. So, the whole thing is that, there has to be a reach out and a redefinition of what a man is in regards to, a role in terms of the gender and the masculine divinity as to what they really are. And so that's the main problem is that, we're trying to, force ourselves to be something that we're really not in terms of the image of the European. And that's our main problem.
Now, what do you think about, and I love what you said, what do you think about what I said earlier, and I don't know if you heard it, but I talked about how actually, the black man is very pigeonholed, so it's hard. I don't know if you've ever spent the night at a friend's house when you were young, and it was a bunch of you guys in one room, and it's very difficult to get any sleep because there's not much room for you to even turn over because there's someone there. So you're in this little area, and you're trying to sleep in that little area, or if you try to sleep in a chair when you're in an office building or something, you're trying to go to sleep in that chair. It's very difficult because you're pinned in a small area. To me, that's what I think is wrong. A lot of black male's problem is we're pinned into one area. We have to talk a certain way. If you speak proper, you're told you speak white. If you listen to anything other than rap, you're white. If you do anything other than sag your britches and have tattoos on your arm and grab your penis, you're soft. We have so many things that literally are defined as what a black male is that we're not allowed to be an expressive people. Do you find any value in that statement, or do you think I'm completely off?
Well, No, you're absolutely correct. And see, the whole thing is that there has to be new cloth cut. Whereas, the ones where, who are claiming that holding and sagging and all the rest of this stuff is where you have to be. Too many times what happens is that, the ones who, to acclimate yourself into this system, right, of capitalism and oppression, see, that's where the disconnect comes in at. On the one hand, we were beat, we were slaves, and, naturally the reason why white people hate us is they're waiting for us to kill them for all the things they did to our ancestors. But our thing is that, ancestrally we were a peaceful people. So, again, there's this disconnect that happens, and the only thing is that, when you start ignoring white people, they get real agitated. Because I don't believe in white supremacy because I don't really acknowledge white people. I have to work within their system, but that's all I have to do. I don't have to be like them. I don't have to have the big house. I don't have to have, the cars with the rims. I don't have to define myself but exactly who I am. And I've always been one that has always separated myself. The in crowd, I used to laugh at them. And the ones that wanted to be the in crowd, I used to laugh at them even more. I said, where's your individuality? I didn't have to wear the same clothes you wore and the way you wore them. I used to try to get the most tailor-made stuff that you had. You know what I mean? But, again, I'm cut from a different cloth. These young kids are falling into the trap of the white T-shirt, and the sneakers and all the rest of this nonsense. But no one's standing up and telling them, or showing them the light. But, again, if you go to the light, then you go into the white. You know what I mean? And then when you go into the white, then you lose yourself.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing. And that's one of the things I wanted to address. I love your call, by the way, Rick. The idea that we are so lost that we don't have an identity. If you look at what other cultures do when they come here to the United States, they pretty much stick to each other. They pretty much make money and stick and leave it in their community. They make sure that they can keep it amongst each other. When you look at what Sandra Bullock did when she started her company, she started with her dad and her sisters and employed her cousins. Who's Tyler Perry hiring? Is he hiring his mom and his sisters and employing his cousin? Now, I'm not saying he's not hiring blacks, because he's definitely hiring blacks. He's hiring a lot of blacks.
But you know why? But you know why he's not hiring them? They're not qualified. Okay?
Exactly.
And a lot of times what happens is, it's just like I was watching something with Spike Lee, and one of his elders, his grandmother, had died, and here's a man that made films and made millions of dollars, and he never even asked his grandmother what life was like. Okay, the one that funded his first movie.
Mm.
Okay? So the thing is that, you can't drag somebody out of a, it's like I'm like this. If I'm in a big pool of water or something like that, and it's not enough that I can drag you up, I'm like saying, brother, I'm going to call for help because I can't put my hand in there and drown with you. But at the same time, why did you get in the water? So now I'm responsible for you to get in the water, pull you out, and then you're going to pull me down with you? I mean, somewhere there has to be a sense of self-responsibility for people to make and define who they are outside of what everybody else is saying. And that's one of our problems, not the problem, but one of them.
Rick, stick around for the after show. I would love to hear more of your comments. The after show is going to start in about 5 minutes, so I want you to stick around if you can.
Sure.
All right, good deal. I want to bring in one more caller before we get out of here. And everybody, if you want to be a part of the after show starts at 10 o'clock promptly, so you have to have called in before. And the number is 347-989-8310 to be a part of the after show. But before we go to the after show, I want to talk to my man. I think this is Keith, 614-654. Is that Keith?
That's me.
Keith, what's going on? I brought you in to end out the online portion of the show because you are a living, breathing portion or part of that part where we were talking about the plight of black men as far as not fitting this certain mold and still having to affirm your blackness. What are you yourself, before you address that, what do you think is one of the major plights of the black male in the United States today?
If I were to sum up all of our problems in one word, it would be Oprah.
Now you have to elaborate.
Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Oprah. I love Oprah. Oprah has come from all kinds of adversity to become really, really successful. But here's the thing. Yeah, she used to get beat down hard. I mean, she was abused. She fought her way through all kinds of racism to become the person she is today, right? But people don't talk about Oprah how she grew up and how she became who she was. They don't talk about her fighting. They just think about Oprah as the queen of the mountaintop.
They don't talk about her denying the child that she had. Go ahead.
Right, right. You know, I mean, and all of those different things. And I think that we see the end result and have an expectation that, you know, all right, the end result, that should just simply be mine. Just like when we were talking about, you know, the rappers and all the other things and all of these other expectations. And so we start to buy into all of these different ideas. Now, if you don't fit into that mode, then, you know, you find yourself having the other struggle, which is like, well, you already know no matter where you go, you're always going to be fighting something. But we always seem to keep forgetting that we're always going to be fighting something, and you're going to have to be the one to stand up for yourself and stand up for yourself over and over and over and over and over again and not back down until you get what you're going for. But we forget that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, when we look at, you know, people like her and Jay-Z and like a Russell Simmons, or, you know, I mean, people don't talk about Quincy Jones anymore. I mean, Quincy went through all kinds of hell to reach the top. But they forget, you know, they don't think about the process that all of these people went through and all the hell that they went through to get where they are. And so, and you always have to remember that, you know, as you are who you are, you know, in order to become the person you want to be, you got to continue to fight for it. Does that make sense? Tommy, you there? Okay, I can hear no one but me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
I have no idea
what
just happened. I was just talking. I was like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, dog? You know, man, Keith, you're silent. But no, I'm with you 100% on what you were saying. And as far as when you talk about somebody like Quincy Jones and Oprah, we forget about people like Sammy Davis Jr. Sammy Davis Jr. was one of the first black men to be able to get on the stage.
Hello?
Hello? Where'd he go?
Oh, my God.
I paid for my minutes. I really did. And I got that after that. Well, I don't know where Tommy is, but this is your world, my views. I am a caller, Keith Newton. I have just taken over Tommy's show. And if you can hear my voice, I don't know why I'm the only one you can hear.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, this has been a really interesting topic, and in about a minute, we're going to go into the after show. So, Renee, you better give him a number.
Lord Jesus. Lord
really?
Jesus.
Okay.
It's just really ridiculous. I don't know how the after show is really going to go. I don't even know if we're going to have an after show. But if you want to be a part of the after show, you can call in at 347-989-8310. And what you might hear is a dialed tone. You might hear a lot of stuff. But you probably won't hear me. This is Your World, My View. Keith, stick around if I can stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us. And if you want to give part of the after show, please call in 347-989-8310. We're discussing the plight of the black male American. Basically, what I came up with, which is all that matters, that the black man has so many things that we have to face. It is so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. It's so hard to be a black male in the United States because we are don't be laughing. We are pigeonholed into a lot of things, and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We're almost like light-skinned people. Light-skinned people end up being crazy because they don't know what to do, and they don't know where they belong. a black man is the same way. Ladies and gentlemen, treat your black man very nice, and as my man Bob Barker would say, keep your black male spayed or neutered. We will see you on Wednesday. Good night.
Can you hear me? Keep your...
Can I do the spading and neutering?
That's going to be my new sign off. Get your black people spayed or neutered.
you really took the metal dogs thing to the whole extreme, didn't you?
Oh my God. I didn't think you'd be able to hear me. That was hilarious. Oh my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now part of the after show. Thank you guys all for joining. We have a lot of you guys in here. We have a lot of first timers. I want to get to my girl. I told her I was going to get back to her. I want to get to my man, Big Meech. And I want to also bring a lot of you new people in if you want to talk. And the way it works is we need you guys to talk to us one at a time because we know we all got a lot of stuff to say and it's very hard to hear. And speaking of very hard to listen to, I'm going to let Tiffany tell you how this thing goes.
Oh, what an introduction. Thank you, Simon. Hi, everyone. As Thomas said, if you can hear him, you're now in the after show. I'm not going to do what I normally do because I want to be serious on the show. But as he said, the person speaking, it will be courteous that you take the time to listen to what they're saying, let them make their point, and then we can move on. And that's it.
Good deal. And if you have your dog, your cat, anything else, put them outside, kill them, whatever it takes to keep them quiet. You know, Michael Vick is around, so I got a place where you can let him be babysat.
Oh, Lord.
but we do want to be able to address this show in a positive light and in a good light. And
yeah.
I want to bring my girl back in because I told her. And again, if you guys have anything to say, you speak up. I can typically hear you. Don't say a whole sentence. Just say something like, you know, like, dog, I got something to say. Now I hear you, and I say, person with the raspy voice or whatever. But if you want to talk, that's how you got to get in because we will overshadow everyone else. It'll be like two people talking. So if you want to jump in, you got to jump in. But I want to bring in my girl. Well, Tiffany, since you're here, I'm going to go to you. Let me be fair. This is Presidential Tiffany, and we just got through talking to Presidential Keith. These are the presidential calls of the people who call in the most, the people who are always loyal to Your World, My Views. Tiffany, what do you think are one of the things facing the black men? Because you're raising a black child, a black male. So what do you think of one of the things that's facing him now and in his future?
You know what? That was one of the reasons that I really wanted to make sure that I listened to the show tonight because I wanted to pull from the other speakers and try and get some kind of clue on or direction on how to best go about this, raising my son. Because he has faced the issues of, like you said, Thomas, not being black enough, not being white enough. Even family members say, Tiffany, why your kids sound like that? And I'm like, because they know how to form a sentence? I don't know. And so he gets it from all different directions. So I'm trying to find out which direction so that he doesn't fall into the mold of what society expects him to be as a young male in America. I try to do the best that I can, but I'm not a man. I don't know how to do that, so that's what I was listening
Hello?
To tonight.
Hello.
That is a great thing that you said, and I don't know how many women out here want to agree with that or not, but I've always said that, and it seems like it's a simple thing. Very hard to be a woman and raise a man. I think I'm very emotional. I have to tell people all the time. Most of the time when I'm on Facebook and I'm responding, I'm PMSing because I'm talking like my mama. Uh-huh. I'm not acting like a man. I'm acting like my mama. That's what I'm doing. You say
what
one thing to me.
What the hell is acting like a man supposed to be?
No. What I mean is this. I'm responding to everything someone does emotionally. And so it's this idea of, you know, honestly, I'll admit it. I don't mind. Because the first step is admitting. Then the next step, I probably should go to Charter Pifa or get help somewhere. But the point is, I'm very emotional, and that's supposed to – in order for life to balance itself out, you have to be on one end of the spectrum and somebody else is on the other end of the spectrum. If you're emotional, you can't be around a bunch of emotional people. That's why a lot of women don't get along with other women.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be –
true that.
That's all I mean, Meech. I don't mean that. Let me tell you about me. Let's just get this straight. I'm heterosexual. That's no pun intended. I'm very heterosexual, but I will stand in the middle of the mall, waiting on them to give me my burger, with both my hands on my hips, with the wrist part on my hip, and would dare you to say something to me. We was at my daughter's recital, and they were playing My Little Pony. I said, "That's my shit. That's my shit." I had that pony. You know what? I played with this, the strawberry shortcake. That was my shit, too. I had
what?
That. I don't care. You know, I used to, when I was growing up, there was a time in which I used to say, you know, every time my homeboys would come over, the shortcake and the pony would go in the closet, and I pull out the Transformers.
G.I. Joe.
I pull out, and I know I didn't like playing with them because they were just destructive. I didn't like all that destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah,
I
but see, here's the point.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. See, with you having to admit that, the problem that we're seeing with the plight of the black male as we know it is that men have never been taught to be that comfortable to talk about stuff like that. That
you know
didn't take away from your heterosexuality
or
your identity.
Meech, you know when I got comfortable to say that? About 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's not, you're right.
Because
so
you're talking to,
no, I'm a, the reason
because
I'm
you're
agreeing
talking to a gay man about it.
No,
I understand that.
No,
but
the reason
so,
I,
the
I got comfortable
is,
with this, well, the reason I got comfortable meeting this, and then I'll let you finish. The reason I got comfortable is once you take a little bit of psychology, you get to learn a little bit about yourself, and then you get to learn a lot about yourself. Then when you start hanging
right.
with freaks, once you hang around a bunch of freaks, you start realizing that the things that you thought were weird aren't weird. And once you start to hang around a bunch of freaks, you got to understand, I have a bunch of gay male friends that I sit and have a conversation with, and I had a dude pat me on the shoulder like, "How can you talk to that man? He gay." I said, "Then you shouldn't get mad when white people don't want to talk to your ass because you black. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You talk to them niggas, you'll turn into a nigga." I mean, I don't understand that logic.
Right, right. Because it's the same concept, exactly.
And so I got to a point where I realized I was more comfortable with myself when I was around more people who had become comfortable with themselves. And to be the hardest thing for anybody to do in life is for a black man to come out and say he gay. Out of anything else you can tell your parents, out of any other group of people can tell whatever, a redneck can tell his mama that he marrying a black woman quicker than a black man can walk in and tell his mama, "I like other men." That's
gay.
The hardest
yeah.
thing that anybody can tell. So
that's
once
true.
You hang around some people
that's
who have
true.
Jumped that hurdle, every other stepping stone in life looks like a pebble to them. So I've listened to people, and I thought, damn, I'm not the only one who thinks this. I remember going to college, and everybody was against, like, masturbating. I don't have to masturbate, dog. I'm a pimp. I don't need that. And I sat down and had a conversation with some guys, and finally all of them admitted, yeah, hold on, whoever beating the kid's ass, just beat them. Just go on and beat them. Get it over with. Now, but I had to sit down with some guys, and they was like, "You know, man, I do that too." It took a while for us to get comfortable to say, "I do that too." And it was weird that I knew so many people who did something that so many people denied. Now, go ahead and make your point about the idea of how, you know, that's one of the biggest plights of that black men have.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I didn't realize, I keep forgetting that the after show you have me here because I was really hollering at the phone at that moment. Part of the things that we go through, just like being that comfortable and that free to say, okay, this is who I am, and, you know, there had to be little boys somewhere that watched it because, as we know, the paradigm and understanding business and capitalism, honey, is My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright did not fully exist on little girls. Somewhere, the dollars had to flow somewhere. But here's the thing. Another issue that seems to be hindering black men is their notion for not wanting to take care of their health. It is supposedly too masculine for two sissy fives to go to the doctors until something is wrong. We don't know about preventative care, and we're killing ourselves, trying to be ballers and pimps and this and that, trying to work two or three jobs to take care of a family, and pushing through because a man is supposed to show emotion. A man is not supposed to show pain. You know, no pain, no gain. And so we're sitting around with migraines and gout in our feet and hands and arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and all these other ills and, you know, hypertension and all of that because we're afraid to go to the doctor. I just turned 40 this year, and I have my very first official prostate exam, and I didn't see what the hell the problem was.
You know why I'm laughing. Meech, you know why I'm laughing.
I didn't see what the problem was because I was like, really? Okay, you know, I laughed all the way through it. I laughed. And
I ask the question?
I'm in there with you.
I'm finna hang up the phone on you, Meech.
But I said that to say, you know, I've had my very first official prostate exam. And, you know, now a lot of folks, they find that funny because I'm a gay man and they think they know what I do in the bedroom. However, that's not one of them all the time, so it shouldn't have been as easy as it was. Okay. However, black men just do not, they fear that particular test because having that kind of test is supposed to infringe upon their masculinity, you know, and this, that, and other, which is the craziest thing. There's a lot of stuff of going to the doctor, honey, that infringe upon whatever because, shit, they got to touch this, they got to look at that, and it becomes somewhat embarrassing, but, hey, you've got to know your body in order to do it. And men, or the male species, particularly African-American or African-American skin or dark-skinned folks, do not take that into consideration. We don't look at the fact that everything that we do is looked upon us as who we are collectively. They don't look at us individually. They look at us collectively as a whole. So if one does it, then the whole race must do it. All black men are like this. You know, we too busy. We are so busy, still in that slave mentality of got to be Mandingo, got to do this, hit it, quit it, and call it grace. And everything that society knows about us that we perpetuate and facilitate is around sexual prowess. And we go to satisfy the folks sexually, then everything about us is meal and void. And so black men are just at a standstill with that, gay, straight, or otherwise. We're just at a standstill because we won't press past that. We won't press past the thing of men will be men. You know, that whole divide and conquer thing, which still goes back to the sexual ramifications of what being a man is all about. No one knows about responsibilities. Women these days, the point was made earlier about the guy was saying that the woman, you know, she became the head of the household. She didn't want to become the head of the household, damn it. She had to become the head of the household because when affirmative action came into place, that was one of the reasons that took the black man out of the family because instead of the black man getting the job, they killed two birds with one stone for the minority and hired the black woman. So it wasn't like it was her fault that he couldn't get work. That was how the system was. And instead of working the system and learning it, black men got discovered and left. So then she had to step up and become the head of the household. And like I said earlier, as time evolved, what the hell she need him for? Because he didn't want to do nothing. He became lazy, upset, mad, wanted to throw his hands up, want to fight her because she make more money than him. That wasn't her fault.
You know what it
reminds me of? So now all these ills have become a pattern, and we have let it fester. And it has taken root. And we know when something takes root, you don't know where the roots are going to lay out. So it just started populating the soil and taking root. And now all this poison has come up into what we see black men are today.
Meet you like me. You're an 80s baby. And I can sum everything you
I'm
said up.
I'm a 70s baby, honey. I was born in 1970. And
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's when you get your roots. That's when you got your understanding. In the 70s, you remember bits and pieces of that. I was born in the 70s as well, but bits and pieces of that. But in the 80s is where we became who we are. Well, I don't have that good of a memory. In the 80s is what I remember. I remember a lot of the 80s, minimal of the 70s. But there was a group called The Fix in the 80s, and they put out a song. Do you remember the song that reminds me of everything that you just said?
Which one? Because now, The Fix, I don't know the group, but tell me which song you're talking about, because I'm sure I know the song.
One thing leads to another.
Oh, yeah.
Everything you just said was literally an idea of no one stopped. And that's one of the biggest problems in the black community, and if you just watch my page, it's always addressed. Whenever I talk about the start of something, and if we start there, we can solve the problem.
Uh-huh.
If there's a leak in your house, yes, there's water on the carpet. Yes, it's running down the ceiling. But you have to stop the source before you can fix the carpet and the ceiling. That's what you do. You stop the source. One thing leads to another in the black community. I made a simple statement, which was, if black women don't allow black men to get them pregnant, there wouldn't be any single parents running around here. If you made a man marry you,
would you say that again? Would you say that again?
If black women stop allowing black men to get them pregnant, which is the start, then it wouldn't be any single parents. Make this man marry you before you get off DEPO. Stop saying DEPO make you fat. Stop saying the IUD, whatever. Then stop, because my thing is, you are the one. If we're complaining that we have too many black women raising kids, wouldn't the start be we having too many black women that are allowing the black men get them pregnant? Because typically a man cannot get you pregnant if you don't have sex with him. Do you understand how many people got pissed at me for saying that? And they kept changing the again, the one thing leads to another. They kept changing the argument. They kept saying, well, no, these black men didn't have to sleep with me. No, you're right. But when I'm driving the car.
You are right, but you were the one that said yes.
Thank you. Yes. Because when I'm driving the car.
Whatever it was, whether he talked you out of his, whatever it was, ultimately you said yes. It could not have happened unless he raped you. Unless you said yes.
And that's what I put. I said unless it's rape or immaculate conception, and sorry, guys, I spelled it wrong. I put an E instead of an I. But I said rape instead of immaculate conception, then you allowed this to happen. And what I don't understand is black men are being raised by black women. Black women, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, and I want you guys to jump in and say something because I know y'all going to kill me. Black women will put an issue off on everything other than her very quick. If you don't want to be with her,
interesting point.
You can't take a strong woman. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's belligerent. It has nothing to do with she's hard to talk to. It's your fault because you can't accept a strong woman.
Ooh,
I've never heard a black woman say, it's my fault. She got 9 kids by 10 different men, but it's their fault. Them niggas ain't shit. And I'd be like, really? They ain't shit, but you done slept with 10 of them and got 10 kids. But they ain't shit.
They got 1,500. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? But and so when you watch that mentality as a young black man being raised by a young black woman who never takes responsibility of the fact it's always somebody else's fault, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I grew up, I heard my mama tell me that it was always the man's fault. Every time she come home from work, them damn white people, when she started preaching, she kept moving from church to church, to church, and every time she left the church, it wasn't because she was, I want to take over your church. It wasn't her fault. It was because there was something wrong with them people at that church, so she had to go to another one. And I kept thinking, wow, my mom never does anything wrong, but nothing ever goes right. What's the problem?
But part of that is because she always had to look like she had everything under control.
Exactly.
As a single woman raising children, there was no such thing as I can't do this because she had to. And so then she became hard. Remember I said women have become the men that they want because she had to. There was no, saying that I'm wrong or saying I need help was not an option. At least she never had to show that in front of her kids. Now, I know I've caught my mother crying on a few occasions, very, very few, but I know when she was out of my sight, I didn't know what happened. All I know is it was taken care of. She and my father divorced when I was 8. I'm the first born. So I had to help take care of kids from the time, since I was a child. So I've been raising babies my life.
Mm-hmm.
And not one time have I seen my mother say, oh, I'm wrong about this. Now, she tells me now I'm 40. So she's like, well, if I had to do it all over again, I would have let you be a child because I leaned on you too much because I saw that you can do it. And so I expected you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a help to her. You know, here's an issue that a lot of folks don't realize, and it becomes intoxicating because, see, men like this quality in the woman, but again, it's only the fantasy of it, and that is female masculinity, because the strength that it takes for a woman to do all that she does, it exudes from that masculine energy that everybody says that a man is supposed to have. But female masculinity becomes intoxicating because if you look at fashion, look at everything, it's cool for a girl to have a boy named like Clark, okay? That's sexy. It's cool for a woman to be in a tuxedo because I was considered to be sexy and alluring, you know, because I'm a woman. I could do anything that a man could do. I could do it better and still look beautiful and pretty and lovely. And all that became sexy. It became a fashion icon. But when a woman has to step up in corporate America, she's considered to be a bitch. But when she exudes that masculine energy, a man don't know how to take it outside of the bedroom. They want a demanding, forceful, dominating woman only in the bedroom. Yeah, I want a woman to take charge only in the bedroom. I want a woman who knows what she wants only in the bedroom. Outside
right.
of that, it becomes a problem. And that's one of the things that black men can't stand, because for too long, black men did not have control because the woman was sitting up there, what? I don't need this. I don't need that. And when she became so dominant to where she got control of the household because he didn't give it or didn't command it, instead of he demanded it, which turned everybody off, then it became an issue. So now he looks for that domineering spirit only in sex, and then when it's all said and done, he expects her to go back to being soft and demure and this, that, and the other. And that there is part of the problem and a dynamic that a lot of folks don't look at, that female masculine energy, because everything I know about cars and this, that, and the other, I learned from my mother. My father didn't teach me none of that. My brother learned how to throw a football from my mother.
But see, that's the problem.
And
but that's one of
the
problems.
The
but I think that's one of the issues in the black community is that we're learning everything from our mothers. And I remember that one of my brothers caught my mom doing something that I never knew she did. She used to come into the room with us when we were sleeping, and would sit in the bed with us and kiss us on the head and rub us. My mom is very unattached, not emotionally at all. She's not the typical woman gonna break down and cry. And so I was like, why would she not hug us and love us and rub on us while we're awake? Why does she do this when she's asleep or when we're asleep? Because she doesn't know how to be that person. She's had to be both in one. And anytime you ask an individual to be both, they'll fail at both. That's why a friend of mine who always talks about how mixed people have it harder than anybody else, because they fail at both. They fail at being black and they fail at being white. Hence, they end up being crazy. I was like, that does make sense. Anytime you're trying to be both, you fail at both. Jack of all trades, master
right.
of none. Anytime you try to be more
exactly.
than one of anything, you fail. I want to bring in some other callers. And my girl, I told her I was going to get back to her. 678-358. Girl, what's going on? Are you there? 678-358.
This isn't a girl.
It isn't?
No, I'm just kidding. It's Edward.
Oh. I think she's on the line, but I may have left her on hold too long, and I'm bad with names. I forgot her name. That is hard.
Amaya.
That's Amaya?
Amaya. I think so.
No, her name's something else. She sent me a message.
Oh, well, never mind. I don't know.
Oh, no, I can't remember her name. That might have been, but I want to see. I know there's some other people on here that want to talk, so I want to ask, and I guess I can just go down the line and call them out. 510-782, caller.
This is Evan Storm. I was in your chat room.
What's going on, Evan? What are your thoughts on this whole subject on what ails, or what are some of the things that face the black male in America today?
The black man in America, most reviled, most hated, most feared thing in America today. He's the most unemployed. He's the most imprisoned. He's the most mistreated. He's the most undereducated member of our society. So what ails him? Well, we've got so many choices, but what I think ails him most is what that young woman said earliest. She said that what ails the black man is that nobody stands up for him. He gets no love from no one. He must make it on his own. He is told that he has to figure out how to navigate an environment that does not want him. Corporate world doesn't want him. His woman is afraid of him because he's as often a liability as he is a help, not because he doesn't want to be helpful, but because sometimes he doesn't know how to be. Sometimes his need to be right is more important than his need to do the right thing.
You preaching. You got the floor. Go ahead. Let him go. He preaching. He ain't said a damn thing wrong yet.
He'll put that out there and then not realize that sometimes it's not important to be right. Sometimes it's more important to be there, to be with your family, to be taking care of your family, to be doing the right thing for your family. A lot of times brothers forget that. But it's not like they get trained. It's not like anybody's looking out for them. Most brothers, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I have had one mentor, meaning one brother who said to me, look, young brother, you're having a problem and you cannot solve it by yourself. I will be there for you. His name was Copeland Respass. I was 15 years old. That was the last time a black man stood up to me and said, I will help you find your way. And that was for 1 year. 1 year I had that brother. After that, I never again knew the wisdom and the guidance of a male who looked out for me, who was not trying to gain an advantage from knowing me, who was not trying to exploit me in some fashion, who was really concerned about my well-being. Never again have I known that. Have I been that? Yes, because I know that I have never seen it. So whenever I come across a young brother who I say, you know what, young brother, you have a lot of potential. Let me see what I can do to help you find yourself, because no one else is going to do it for him, because if I don't offer, I'm pretty sure he's going to be just like me. No one's going to ever offer him. But pretty much every black man I've ever mentored, I know where they are right now. I can get on the phone and call them right now. I know where they all are.
That is something deep, that is amazing what he just said. That was amazingly deep, for the simple fact is we don't have – if we understand, say, okay, there are black males out there who don't have a father. Let me give you my testimony, because he just beat the shit out of me. I got like 5 or 6 – I feel like the young man of Singapore. I just got caned. He hit me on several occasions. I'm hard-headed. I'd rather be right. I'd rather sound right than be right. I'd rather argue the fact. It's very difficult for me to say I'm wrong, because if I admit that I'm wrong, what else do I have left? That is my whole being of being right. But I grew up, and my mom married my stepdad. She married my stepdad. I was 10, and I remember wanted to change my last name to their last name, so I would have the same last name as everyone else. No, she married him when I was 6. I'm sorry. They had my little brother when I was 10. Now, here was a problem. My stepdad was very nice to me from the time I can remember, when he was trying to get with my mom. He married my mom. I didn't get taken to any football games. He didn't go outside and play with me. He didn't have anything to do with me. And I was very nice to him. I wanted a dad because I didn't have one. I used to say my last name was his name, used to write my last name down as his last name, used to try and set up under him when he would go and rehearse with the singing group. I asked and pleaded, let me go with him. Until when I was 10, he got his own son. When he got his own son. He got his own son. His son got taken to football games. His son got put into baseball. His son got pictures of him when he was little and video recordings of what was going on. I always make my girl laugh until I say, when I look back on my little photographic book, it looked like I was 1 year old and then I was in high school, because I have no other picture. That's what happened. I have no, like, I didn't exist. And I'm like, but then my little brother has a whole wing of the house dedicated to his. Seriously, I don't lie at all. It's a whole wing of the house of everything he's ever done in that room. Now, he had a black male there to allow him to be more than one thing. I had a black woman there, which allowed me to be that one thing, to be that black woman. I can remember putting on her high heel shoes and walking around in them when I was 5. There was no man there. I wanted to be like the person I saw. And she didn't know no damn better because apparently she wanted a little girl, so she didn't have no problem with me doing it. What the brother just said a second ago was 100% correct, because even when we're raised in the wrong environment, we don't grow up and realize what went wrong and then try to pass that down to another brother and say, you know what, because I didn't have a father there, I'm going to take on all comers. If I know the little boy in the neighborhood, I'm going to sit down and talk to him. Now, if they bad and you can't talk to him, I understand. It ain't your child. You're not going to beat it into his head. But there's a lot of brothers out there that's looking and hoping that you'll talk to him, that want to be your friend.
Amen.
And we turning our back on them because we trying to screw their mama, so we'll be nice to them until we get to screw their mama.
But see, here's another dynamic on that. Because brothers like me who end up taking on that responsibility, because I'm gay, then I'm not qualified or I'm not a valid source of information. So then the child becomes even more confused because I've been raising kids all of my life, and not just my brother and sisters, but I'm going to have raised half the world. But because Michi was, you know, a little that way or whatever, I then became invalidated by those around me. Because, see, now it took a brother, you know, I kind of like upstaged him because I would sit up and teach the kids, okay, this is how you dress your clothes. This is how you match your clothes up so you don't go ahead looking like a damn clown. This is what you do. This is how you wear your cologne. You don't put on the whole damn bottle. But because I upstaged a straight man or a brother, then he had to come in and then embody or teach the child and give the embodiment of all this so-called masculine airs of what a man was supposed to be. So then when I sit up there and challenge all of that, then the child looks as if, okay, what am I supposed to do? You have this dichotomy there, and then the parents don't step in and correct it. They think it's cute, and they think it's just another. The man is trying to give them drugs, and then I'm the one that gets shot down. Oh, well, you know, you need to stop coming around so much because, oh, really? Okay.
It is very easy to have the man with his pants sagging for some reason because he's a stereotypical, this is what a man, you want your son to be that. But let me ask you something, ladies. Why would you want your man to be that? Why would you want the man who has a tattoo on his neck raising your son to rear your son to be what he is? Because if he got that tattoo on his neck, I don't know where he working, but it probably ain't in corporate America.
Okay.
Well, he's working in a box room down in the basement.
and I really don't understand that. Meech is right. You'll have a good role model is a good role model is a good role model. One of the things I have a problem with is you have these people saying gays shouldn't be able to adopt kids. Well, if that's the case, you got a lot of straight people who shouldn't be able to have kids, who shouldn't be let 50 feet near any kids. But they get to raise their kids. The United States, this is the funny thing about us. You can be a killer, you can be anything as you want, as long as you're straight.
Yep.
Seriously, you can raise kids. They let these motherfuckers, you know, they let these people. In China, they tell you, at least they stop people and say, okay, we done got overpopulated. Y'all can't have no more damn kids. In the United States, we watch people who are on welfare have another child, and it's all right.
Raising children in America is the last great refuge of the amateur. You have to have a license to fish. You have to have a license to drive. You have to have a license to fly. You have to have a license to
drive. Okay, you want to say that now.
Okay, but anyone, literally any unqualified dipstick. The most important thing that we do as a society to raise the next generation, and you are not required to have a single slip of paper of any shape or form, no training, no education, no classes. You can just go and raise your own serial killer. We'll stop you. You can raise your next year's gangbanger. No one's going to stop you. You can raise the next Bernie Madoff. No one will stop you.
Exactly.
No one's going to stop you from having the ability to raise an individual who may change the course of civilization. You're free to raise Gandhi or you're free to raise Hitler. No one will stop you from doing it. It's the last great refuge of the amateur.
And Yvonne, I want to talk. Yvonne, I want to pose this to you. I say this all the time, and people get mad. We give women credit just because they have the child. We had a woman talk about, well, you know, I have these two kids, and the two kids are both in diapers. So you have two kids that aren't twins that are in diapers. That's a bad deal, first off. You should not have two kids that aren't twins and both of them in, still in diapers. That means you had them too quick. Unless you can afford them, which if you're on welfare and you live with your parents, that means you can't.
That's right.
Right. But the women were banding together and saying that this woman's a strong woman and a good parent, even though she lives at home, has two kids still in their diapers, because the dad is the fault. Now, she had two different dads. So that means after you had a child, you start sleeping with another man unprotected. Right?
Right. Exactly.
Had it.
Exactly.
Now, the women still get together and they get credit. But last I checked, if you're a woman and you're still living in a house with your parents and your mom and dad are helping you raise that child while you're at the club, you're not a good parent. But in the black community, as long as you have possession, you are called a good parent. They don't care what you do. They don't care the fact that you have two kids looking at each other both in diapers and they ain't named Darren and Karen. They ain't twins, but it's still all right because you keep custody, but the man is a dog because the two men are dogs because they ain't there taking care of it. Yvonne, am I wrong for saying, hold on, just because you have a child doesn't mean you're qualified to take care of them, and it doesn't make you a good parent just because you're holding the child.
I agree. The whole standard for raising children and having children, the whole standard is wrong, especially amongst our community, because we have this habit of saying if a woman has her kids, she's doing right by them because she has them. So she could be secretly burning cigarettes on them at night. No one knows. But she's a mother. She's there for them. She could be beating them with an inch of their natural lives. But she's their mother. She's there for them. If you're a man and the woman who has your children is abusing them, when you take her to court, you have to actually be making a lot of money. You have to actually have your ducks so in a row that there's no chance that anything could go wrong. They have to be tighter than a laser beam because if she's a woman, she will get the custody of the kids because the expectation is she's a woman, she's going to do better than you are.
Yep.
And it's weird,
right?
But it's true, and it's just the way America is. It's one of those things. I don't understand. It's a country that says if you're a man and you're a black man, no one wants to give you the benefit of the doubt. You can't buy the benefit of the doubt. Okay, Tiger Woods, for example, I'll give you the perfect example. Tiger Woods, because I have, hold on now, trust me, I have much respect for Tiger Woods. You know why? Because for all these years, I thought Tiger Woods only had one mission in life, which was to golf, was to put that golf ball 350 yards into that little tiny hole. I swear to God, I was like, Tiger, you are the man. I have watched you play golf, and I figured you had no other ambition in life but to play golf. But you know what we discovered about Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods is even more amazing than we give him credit for, because the whole time Tiger Woods is playing golf, Tiger's thinking, I'm going to nail that waitress behind the counter I just passed on my way in here. Tiger's not even thinking about golf. That's how amazing his skill was. He wasn't even thinking about it. He was simply playing golf as something to do between getting women. Brothers cannot get a break no matter what they do. No matter how amazing you are, you still are never going to be good enough. And the first time we catch you making a mistake as a brother, we will have you have to apologize to
every single person who thinks they might feel offended that you've done something because you're a black man in America. How dare you?
You have to do it individually, yeah?
And you got to do it individually. You can't give one group a policy, no. You got
one
to apologize.
You're right.
You got to have a road tour.
Right.
You got to have a road tour to apologize. You got to go state to state, I'm so sorry I slept with this other woman. Tiger Woods should have never been married. He should have never got. Whose idea was that? I bet you didn't ask him.
Exactly.
I bet you didn't ask Tiger, because Tiger would have told you, no, I'm cool with not being married. I want to roam across the country playing golf and tapping that ass. That's what I want to do. Nobody asked him. And so my whole point is, they don't get any respect for their ability, no matter how awesome it is, because the only thing America wants to do is to find a way to undermine what it is you're good at doing. So if you're a brother and you've worked someplace in corporate America, when was the last time anybody told you, you know, you did a damn good job today? Anybody remember? Any brother here can tell me that someone told them they did a good job. When was the last time someone told you that? Anybody?
Actually,
you're right.
I got today from my boss, but he's a white guy.
Okay. No brothers get told
you know, I get it at work, so I'm good.
I have moved heaven and earth. I have made silk purses out of sow's ears. I've transmuted lead to gold. Okay? I've held the sun in its orbit. I have split the seas. And no one ever says to me, you know what? You've done a good job. I really appreciate you being here. Before you came here, there wasn't nothing. Now that you're here, it is like heaven. No one gives me that credit till after I'm gone. Now, I'll be gone 2 or 3 years and roll back up through there. Hey, how you guys doing? Oh, this place is hell now. I'm like, what? When I was here, you couldn't give me any love. Well, because we couldn't acknowledge that you were actually doing a good job. Why not? Why couldn't you acknowledge it? Because you were a black man. We couldn't actually give you the credit for that. And that
is very
the problem.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I will say this. A lot of I will agree that a lot of black men find it hard to get someone to say to them, I mean, as boys, if you're an athlete, well, your parent thinks you can go to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll tell you you're doing a good job. But the dude that's just smart, which I was, you know, the only time I used to hear my mom tell people that I was, or to acknowledge how smart I was when one of the white people from school would tell her, oh, he makes straight A's. Then she's like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I know he's smart. And I kept thinking, you know, the last time my mom saw a report card of mine at any time, I was in the eighth grade, and I did a little a social experiment to see if she even cared. I stopped letting her sign for them. I stopped showing them to her. She never asked again. She never said, where are your report cards? The only time she acknowledges me is when someone else acknowledges me. When they say your son's handsome, when they say your son's whatever, that's usually when I get a compliment. So I grew up with that complex. Because I didn't have a dad. If my dad was there, he would have kept seeing me in himself. See, they tell their daughters they're pretty because they see themselves in their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They see accomplishments in their daughters. Did you know that black people are literally the only race, if you want to look at it in a way, and it's just my opinion. It is based on a fact. That being said, the fact is black people are the only race where we will say to our kids, if it was good enough for me, it's good enough for you. You notice that other races want
their
they want
to
be
to
better.
Have better than them. That's right.
Yes,
that's their mission in life.
I don't think that's necessarily true for black people. I mean, predominantly. I mean, I see that with a lot of different cultures, particularly with older generation parents who just want their kids to have what they understand as a successful life. You know, but I hear everything you're saying, and first of all, Yvonne, you know, congratulations on your alchemy. Transmuting lead to gold is an amazing feat. I wish I could do that. It would save me so much on the caps on my teeth.
There you go.
But you know, I mean, I think that with all of that that's there, I would still have to, and I'll point to you, Thomas, as an indication that at some point, I think that, you know, you realize yourself that, hey, you know what, I'm just going to have to be my own best advocate. You can't really depend on looking at your situation and just letting the situation, you know, control who you are. You decided,
right,
who you were going to be. And you know, and I think while there is a significant amount of truth to, hey, you know what, if there isn't somebody there to advocate for you and support you, you're going to have a lot of a harder time. You know, at some point, you do decide who you're going to be, and you can't look at your circumstance and just say, well, hey, well, this is what this is how I am. But you take that step of courage that lets you be who you are.
Yeah, I'm not a believer go ahead.
He's really right about that because, I mean, I'm a woman, I'm a single mom, I'm mixed, black, and white. I grew up in California where it was, you know, you were just you. It wasn't a black thing, it wasn't a white thing. So I grew up my whole life like that. And then now, you know, it starts to define me more and more. And it takes a lot of balls to say, hey, no, I'm not black, or no, I'm not white, I'm me. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of balls to raise a son by yourself. And being a woman, like all those qualities that you guys said about black men and single moms, you know, trying to be men, like I see all that in me to some extent. And it is hard because, I mean, I'll try and raise my son the right way. I don't try to raise him like a black man. I just try to raise him to be a man. And I see myself sometimes telling him, oh, you got to suck it up, you know, this and this and that and that. But it's not just black men who are never good enough.
Right, and if I can jump in here, there are, I mean, I'll just kind of use myself as an example here, is that, I mean, I had a lot of insecurities growing up. I mean, especially, I mean, you hear the sound of my voice, everybody still thinks I'm a white man on the phone, because let's face it, that's
right.
How I get my job confused. So, but, you know, I had a lot of insecurities with who I am and what I was. And it's only been until recently, after going through some really, really horrific kind of spots in life, you know, dealing with people and trying to please people and then kind of figuring out who I am, that I learned the two most important words that I think anybody should carry throughout their entire life with them. And the two words are, fuck 'em.
Bite me. There you go.
Because those are the words that let you say, hey, you know what? I'm okay to be who I am. Okay, you don't like that I sound like, you know, you think I'm a white on the phone? Fuck them. You don't like that I
sound
like.
It is okay to be who you are, though, but when you're the only one trying to be who you are, it's hard.
It is hard, but it's not impossible. And
yeah,
that's
but it
the
is
lonely.
Lonely.
From,
it's lonely.
From,
what she's saying is it is lonely to be unique. In a society
especially
where
a
everyone
child.
Is trying to look the same, it is hard to be unique. It is hard to
and
be that one
Mexican.
Person.
Again, but it is hard, but it is not insurmountable.
Who is that look Mexican? Who is that say they look Mexican?
Me, and I'm mixed black and white. I'm all fucked up from all ends. I mean, I got to be a mom and dad,
you?
Black and white.
I don't know who you are.
It's Michelle. It's Mickey.
Oh, Michelle, I didn't know you sound hood.
I mean, I grew up in Cali, but and the South, so it's a little bit of both.
I thought you were from East Point.
But no.
I mean, this is me, though. I mean, it is. It's hard. I mean, you don't. I never fit in any damn where. I didn't fit in with the black girls, the white girls. Hell, I didn't even fit in with the Mexican girls because I can't speak Spanish.
You see, did you hear what I said earlier?
Uh-huh.
I said, somebody told me mixed chicks have it hard. That's why they end up crazy and killing people. Because.
Oh, man. No, I can't say I would never kill nobody. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I
but,
didn't say you would. I'm just generalizing because that's what I do.
I mean,
generalize.
We had hard. I mean, black men got hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not lessening that by any means because my dad is a black man. And, you know, I've watched my dad go through everything that you guys are talking about throughout his whole life, but I looked at it from a way different perspective.
Mm-hmm. What was the perspective you looked at what he was going through? How did you recognize or even, did you even honestly, when did you get to the point where you realized, man, what he went through was kind of hard?
When I got to the point when I started having to take care of myself, and my dad confided in me one time that he is racist towards white men. And I didn't understand that because I was like, well, what for? And, you know, he broke it down for me, and it took me years to process that. It took me years and years to process that. And not only did I have to look at it from the outside in, but as a woman, too. And he was the only example that I have. Like, when people talk about Barack Obama being black and black issues and a lot of things, it's super hard for me to relate. Like, I really do have to step into somebody else's shoes at that point. I just can't speak off of experience necessarily. Now, I've been discriminated against not because people think I'm black, because they don't know what the hell I am.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, we got to understand, too, that there's a lot of mixed kids in the world, in America these days. And we got to start looking at issues as not, I feel we got to stop looking at issues as black issues, and we need to start looking at them as just issues of us, of people, and stop playing against each other and stop bringing black up. Can we stop bringing black up?
Well, that only
Can
works.
Can we just deal with the issues that we have and move forward? And just move on and just deal with it.
That's only going to work when all the white people who've been old enough and who are rich enough and powerful enough to control America die. That's when that will change.
Well,
as long
as
they're
powerful.
Well, hold on, guys. I will say.
Wait. You guys, real quick. My mom's parents disowned her because she married a black man. I didn't meet my mom's parents until I was 22 years old. And the reason why they said they didn't want to have nothing to do with me is because they felt sorry for me, because I was with black. So, which was retarded to me, but that's them.
I will tell you this. As long as you live in a society where people are not a mono whatever or the homogenous, you will have problems.
That's right.
You will have problems. There is no way you can say if you have people that are tall and people that are short, the tall people will either pick on the short people or vice versa. If you have people who are fat and who are skinny, there will always be things to separate people. Hell, the thing that mostly separates us other than race is finance.
Class.
Yep.
You can transcend race to a certain extent if you get enough money.
Right.
Puffy ain't as black as you think he is anymore. 50 Cent ain't walking around really being as black as you think he is. OJ didn't get black until that white woman was dead.
Yep.
So let's be real. A lot of these people who are selling you this hood, and it's funny, we don't even understand. A lot of people who are selling black people this hood image are people who don't live the hood image anymore. I remember when
If they ever did.
Thank you. We have so many people who never did. When you look at the hardest rapper alive, I love Tupac. Tupac was taking dance and went to a private school. Let's be real.
LL Cool J
stole that lemon. Go ahead.
What is it about that image makes it so marketable that we feel we have to stay attracted to it? What is it? Because that whole thing is about keeping it real. What the hell is real if everything is all a fallacy and a facsimile of a made-up concept?
Well, I look at it this way.
Because that's something that we keep buying into.
Yeah. See, a lot of blacks were impoverished. So if they were having a hard time getting out of it, what you got to do is make heaven out of hell. So the first people started making heaven out of hell by saying, well, we'll say that what we're living in, we're okay with it. It's kind of like a woman. You ever listen to how women tell you they're okay being single, but they ask on the dating website? If you're on a dating website,
right,
you're not okay being single. But they will say it because you want to make heaven out of the hell that you're in. So blacks started saying, you know, the ghetto is the place to be. I love everything about the situation I'm in, because a lot of people didn't see a way out. So you got to love where you if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. The ghetto was the one we were with.
Okay,
but
the question becomes, where is the love? Because that's nothing but internalized hate. Because nobody loves it. They didn't, for what? How about the oxymoron of ghetto fabulousness to me? That's the term I cannot stand. Because nothing has ever been fabulous about the ghetto. It's just been a stepping stone. And yes, folks, there are folks who seem not to find their way out of it, but a lot of them choose not to find a way because they don't want to put the work in that's required to do it. They're looking for everybody to give them a fucking handout.
Preach.
Do you see what else
there
you just
go.
Said, right?
Preach.
Do you
right
see
there.
What else you just, yeah. Do you see what you, else you just said, Meech? It takes work to get out of something.
Amen.
If you're standing in a well,
yeah.
It takes work to climb out that son of a bitch. But if you can get enough people to sit down there and act like you in a mansion, it's easy to live down there and say this is the best place in the world. We didn't want to get out anyway. You ever heard people say?
But you know what? I'm gonna have to give you that because I know folks that because they got all the utilities included, and the damn house is falling down, but they're scared to move because that.
Yep.
Well, that means I'm gonna have to get a light bill. I don't want
yep.
no light bill because shit. But my name is all fucked up. I can't get no light to my name. You know, and so they end up settling. They end up settling for everything and not taking care of the business. I mean, there's wonderful apartment houses and complexes where folks could take advantage of, you know, even if they had limited income. But because of that mentality of, oh, I don't want to, they let it be. And they stay right where they are, shooting, killing, and murdering. And your front yard became a cemetery. But because you gather, when you're keeping it real, because this is the hood, this is all we do in the hood.
Listen,
that thing is something that folks have subscribed to that I say cancel your subscription at
it. Hold on, Yvonne. I want to hear what Yvonne. Go ahead, Yvonne.
It's about selling the idea that when we struggle, that it's more important that we struggle than we overcome. Okay?
Yep.
I want you to understand that. The idea.
Oh, I got you because see, that's what they teach in church.
That's right. It's so pervasive in black culture.
That's what they teach in church. Yeah.
That the issue is not that we ever overcome. The issue is that we are struggling, and that the struggle has become more important than the success. And I'll give you a perfect example.
Exactly.
When I was married to my wife, my first wife, her family used to diss me all the time. When they asked me what I did for a living, I told them I work with computers. Now, all of the members of her family are postal workers, policemen. They're all blue-collar workers. So they're postal workers, policemen, civil servants of one sort or another. And I told them I made a living working with computers. And they looked at me and said, what kind of work is that? You don't get dirty. You don't do anything that's important. And yet I made more money than all of them.
Matter
of fact, in some cases, I made more money than all of them combined. But they could not see what I did as work because to them, I did not have to struggle to work. It was the peasant idea that it is the work that makes it noble, not the fact that we could have a job that gave us real power and authority in society. Our religion teaches this. Our culture teaches this. And so we get caught up in the struggle. That's what makes the black rap myth so magnificent. It's what makes it so attractive. These brothers are saying, don't try to get out. Try to get in. You're trying to be one of us. You want to be us. It is the struggle, not the release, that is the issue.
Yeah, and then let me end it.
I used to play in a polka band.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear you, Keith. I want to go ahead because we're getting to the end of the show, and I want to end it this way. You guys are perfectly 100% correct. If you look up most rap R&B songs, black songs, period, and just type in the word Google, Google the word struggle, you will find a shitload of black songs that worship the word struggle, that worship the struggle of the black man, the struggle in the hood, the struggle to survive. Tupac still struggling, always struggling. We worship that word. But I'll just tell you this, and a guy told me this, and I'm going to end it on this. A guy told me if it wasn't for gravity, everyone would jump.
How?
What does that mean?
I love that.
If it wasn't for gravity, everyone would jump, basically meaning there's a possibility that you will fall, you will die. Gravity will grab you, and you can fail. Birds have to deal with that when their moms send them off the nest. They got to believe that when they stretch their wings, they can succeed. The hardest part about anything is trying. I run into it myself. So you guys, if nothing else, remember that. The hardest part, if it wasn't for gravity, everybody would jump. The struggle is very easy for people to get into it because they're never expected to succeed. Perpetual struggle. allows you never to have to succeed. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Make sure you come back on Wednesday. Sorry Michael didn't show up, but it was a great show having you all, and I can't wait to hear from you all again.
All right, now, you brother.
All right. Good night.
Good night.